All right, you guys ready? Who's ready for, who had a great morning? Man, awesome, awesome morning. Okay, please help me welcome, if you were late this morning, make sure that you get the chance to turn to the camera right now and welcome the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. We are super stoked you guys are watching one of our encore presentations. Now, if you have a cell phone, how many of you guys have a cell phone? Take them out. Take them out of your pocket. Take your last selfie of the day. Well, maybe not the last one, but take a selfie and then turn off your cell phone. All right, this next session is going to be life-changing. You want to make sure that not only are you fully engaged, but you're not distracting people around you as well. Just to also a quick reminder, your phone will be off, so this shouldn't be a problem, but there is no audio or video recording of this session. The event is being professionally recorded. You will have access to the MP3 in your pro membership or your insider membership. If you don't know what that is, we'll make sure you get a chance to hear about that later. But right now, I've got an opportunity to invite somebody up that is amazing. This gentleman just demonstrated awesome leadership on our recent trip down to Nicaragua. He led a team of people into the missions field, kept them organized, kept them on track, kept them moving. He touched hundreds of lives with him and his team, and he has been pouring in. I mean, he has been absorbing Danny Johnson trainings now for 7 years and done some amazing things. I'd love for you to help me welcome to the stage to share his story, Mr. Justin Edge.
How's everybody doing? prior to plugging into DannyJohnson.com, I was a broke college student. I mean, I was broke, drowning in debt, just had bad relationships with people, and just didn't have no vision for my life. Since then, I actually paid off $43,000 in debt in 1.5 years.
Awesome.
I actually improved my relationships. I actually got a job 9 months before I graduated college. I actually started a business, and I'm working on my first investment property. I travel all around the world. I have friends all around the world, have amazing, amazing relationships. So if you guys are serious about having more fun, you know, enjoying life, helping people, and just having a vision for your life, you're in the right place. So you guys need to stay focused and just be ready for Danny, what Danny's going to deliver to you this afternoon.
Dude, what's your favorite product?
My favorite product? My favorite product is Job Domination. I was able to, like, it's crazy. Like, I did an internship, and I used all the skills I learned from Job Domination. And 9 months before I graduate, you know, getting a secure job, that's crazy. Like, a lot of college students don't, you know, do that. So it's been, you know, a great opportunity to just plug in and follow directions. So just, it's simple. It's easy. It's not even hard.
So awesome, man. Yeah. You want to introduce Danny?
Say it again?
You want to introduce Danny?
Yes. So please welcome back America's favorite millionaire, Danny Johnson.
Isn't he adorable?
Yes.
Justin, are you single?
Yes.
You see that? Yes, I'm single. That kind of looked like yes, and I don't plan to be single forever. That's kind of what I heard in that yes. Yes, as in Danny, please announce to all the single ladies in the house that I am single. Is that what that was? Yeah, right over there. He's single. But we really love Justin, and so resumes within. We're just not going to release Justin to any broad. You have to be one quality woman, an honorable woman, a faithful woman, a respectful woman, a highly skilled woman who wants to hold down all of the facets of womanhood And unfortunately, our culture has forgotten what that actually looks like. But Hot Marriage Secrets in 2018 would be glad to tell you and train you up on how to be. They were there at Hot Marriage Secrets. So I just have to say the confidence level in this room and our grads is like at a whole nother level since 4 weeks ago. And you guys are like happier and like less stressed out. I have a feeling I know why. There's more of a stress relieving thing happening in the house now. And the singles, you singles, even the singles. That's amazing. No sex, but we're confident. That's good. Okay. All right. Now, let's get busy. Did you have a good lunch? How many of you went to lunch with someone you do not know? Keep those hands up. You see, there's something that happens when you're hungry. You actually follow directions. Give those people a hand that had their hands up. I'm proud of them. That's amazing. You met a new friend, you broke a barrier, you got out of your comfort zone, and you followed directions. Those are all 2% qualities right there, man. That's it right there. You see, all weekend long, this is going to be about applying what you're learning instantaneously. The sooner you apply what you're learning, as soon as you apply what you're hearing, now it starts to become a new habit that you're forming. How do you crush old habits? By creating new ones that replace the old ones. So this weekend, I'll be challenging you all weekend long to put aside your 98% way of thinking and acting, getting out of your comfort zone and coming forward into the next promotion that you're waiting for. All right, well, this afternoon, we are going to talk about making more money. Is there anybody here who wants to make more money? Okay. Now, hopefully you decided why you want to make more money. You see, that's a really important thing is you have to decide, why do I actually want to make more money? Because there's some people that actually just want to make more money because everybody else wants to. But you really have to determine whether or not you really want to and why. If you don't have a why, if there's no vision for the money, hello? It will perish. The money perishes without the financial vision. So let's talk about three areas in which you can increase your income, all right? Three places where you can increase your income, three ways to increase your income. Now, these three ways are so very simple. They're so simple, a third grader can actually do these things. These three areas are so very simple that it goes over most people's heads. But what I have found in business is that simplicity brings more money. It is when we get complicated and where processes are not simple, that is when the money begins to dry up or become stagnant. That whenever we complicate our model, complicate a system or a process, now we're in trouble. So keeping things simple, and to be honest with you, our word for next year for our company is simplify. Simplify. That is the thing that we're going to be focusing on. Why? Because that's one of the three ways to increase your income. So whether you own a business or you work for a business or you are a full-time parent. In fact, let me find out who the full-time parents are that you have no income yourself personally that you're bringing in, but you're a full-time parent. Okay? All right. So there's like 30 of you. All right? That's amazing. And this also applies to you because your husband Yeah, I think it was mostly women that raised their hands. So there's one person in the household in this case where their primary job is bringing in an income, okay? Well, that means the secondary person in the household, the second leader of the household, that person has a job as well that can also increase the income even without working outside of the house or even starting a business in the house. You can literally help to increase the income even if you're the primary parent at home responsible for the home front and the children, okay? So I'm going to show you because it doesn't matter which one you are. If you're a full-time business owner, you're a full-time employee, or you're a full-time stay-at-home parent, I'm going to show you how to apply these things so you can increase your income. Are you ready for the three things? Next question, are you willing to learn new skills in these three areas? Yes. Next question, are you going to be a 98%er and look at this as entertainment, or are you actually going to step your freaking self up and do something with these three things I'm about to show you. Who's going to step up? We are done with people who like to talk and do nothing. The world is done. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is done with talkers. They want results. And that's one area that you can focus on to increase your value out there. So let's talk about these three things. Number one, really important. Where does money come from? I'm so glad you graduates know the right answer. Where does money come from? It comes from people. It comes from people. It doesn't come from banks. It doesn't grow on trees. I know your parents told you money doesn't grow on trees. Well, they didn't tell you where it did grow, did it? Did they? Money comes from people. Let that sink into your head right now. Money comes from people. Money comes from people. Think about that. Doesn't come from a building. It comes from people. So what is one area that you can increase your skill set that would automatically increase your income? With people. With people. If you increase your people skills, you then will become more valuable to those people. Let me break it down the opposite way. If you tick a lot of people off, if you're a gossip, if you're a time waster, if you're a slanderer, all you do is decrease your value to other people. How do you increase your value to those people? You have to figure out what people like. You have to figure out what they want. You have to figure out what their needs are. And if you decide to learn greater people skills, which is one of the things that you're going to learn here this weekend for the next 3 days, you will automatically increase your income. And let me tell you how and why. If you make people mad or you frustrate people, they don't want to pay you, do they? If you create frustration for people, they value you, they value your product or service, or the business you represent less. You decrease your value by increasing frustration in other people. And for those of you who are full-time at home, if you increase the frustration of the main income earner of the house, you decrease his or her ability to make more money. Do you hear me? So wherever it is that you increase frustration, you decrease your income. So whatever frustration you are adding to other people, that frustration decreases your income potential. So where are the places that you can actually increase people's joy? How can you increase their satisfaction? How can you increase their fulfillment? How can you increase their peace? Because it's out of those places where creativity grows. It's out of that place where faith fosters and grows really, really well. So if you learn the art of dealing with people, if you learn the art of solving people problems, you become much more valuable in the marketplace. Today, we have a big deficit in the area of good leadership. There's a giant vacuum in today's world of good standing leadership. The world is calling out for you to step up, to be the leader that we all know we would like to follow. So when it comes to dealing with people, you're either one of two things. You're the kind of person that ignores people. You're the kind of person that avoids people. You're the kind of person that doesn't want to talk to people, that doesn't want to deal with people. Or the only kind of people you like to deal with are the ones that are just like you. The ones that are happy all the time, the ones that are positive all the time, the ones that are big dreamers, the ones that have your same interests. This does not increase your value with people. You see, you're good at who you're good with, but how do you increase your influence? How do you increase your influence? By hanging out with the same people you're always hanging out with? How? You have to expand your influence beyond who you are. You have to expand your knowledge and your understanding of the people that are around you. You see, it's never the circumstances that determine success in dealing with people. It is, however, how you see them. It's how you deal with those people that determines whether or not you'll have success with those people. So if you're a contractor and you tick off your customers, guess what? What's the result going to be? What's the result? Are you apt to have more business from that person? No. Okay? If you continuously are showing up late to the job, you're continuously missing the deadlines, and you're continuously charging more and more and more without, you're not making your bid, but you just keep adding more and more and more without increasing the value, then what happens? Are they likely to refer you? No, they're unlikely to refer you, right? So one of the areas that you can help increase your value and increase your income is increasing your ability to work with other people. How many of you can see that's pretty darn clear, right? How many of you have ever worked with a business that has really bad service? What do you do? What's your natural knee-jerk reaction? You're going to tell other people about it. You're going to get on social media and tell people about it, right? You might even complain to Better Business Bureau, right? Will you go back there? No. But let me tell you something. All businesses have problems. Did you hear me? All businesses have problems. So what some people try to do is they try to have to be perfect in their business, which clearly creates a stunt of growth. Because perfection is never going to ever be reached. It's never going to be reached. But the issue is that when there is a problem, how do I deal with it? When there is a problem, how do I deal with it? So if you understand the art of dealing with people and your business somehow there was a mistake or something didn't go right, you do what Nordstrom does. Okay, so if we look at Nordstrom, who has incredible service, somebody brought tires back to them and said that they bought these tires from them and they wanted a refund. And Nordstrom doesn't sell tires, but they refunded the person for the tires. Yep. So it's not the problem. It's how we solve the problem. It's how we deal with the problem. So do we argue with the customer or do we honor that customer? We honor them. And so that's what I'm talking about. Every business has problems. The question is, how do you deal with the problems? Do you freak out? Do you argue with your staff? Do you argue with the client? Or do you say simply, I messed that up. Man, we're so sorry. How can we make that right? So it's the same thing in marriage. It's the same thing with the kids. There's always going to be problems. None of us are getting out of this life without having to solve problems. The ones that grow their income is directly related to how they solve that problem with that person. So everything that we talked about this morning about defending yourself, right, arguing with somebody, none of that stuff makes you more valuable to another person. All that does is bring in frustration, and frustration leads to loss. Frustration is a precursor, by the way, to outbursts of anger and rage. Frustration is. I mean, let me ask you, how many of you have been frustrated before? If you're frustrated and the frustration hits the top, what do? You blow up. You blow up, right? So increasing your people skills will increase your income. If money comes from people, that means that how you treat people determines how much you make. And that goes for everybody inside the home as well as outside the home. Let me give you another example. Every single member of the household is an income-producing asset and can aid in it. So let's look. There's one person. Let's say it's dad is the main breadwinner of the household, right? Let's just say for the sake of example. If he's the, in fact, this works in everything. If he's the main breadwinner of the company, I mean, for the household, it's the same as a business owner. If a man or a woman owns a business, they are the one that is solely responsible. It's all on their shoulders. They are solely responsible for what? What are they responsible for? They're responsible for whether that business succeeds or fails, right? Okay. So if you're an employee of a business, who has the responsibility? The owner has the responsibility. But what would happen if every person involved supporting the one who's responsible for building that business and everyone took ownership in it? So watch. The kids and the wife in this scenario, when it is the one income earner, how can they help to support the main breadwinner of the family? Yeah, one is to decrease spending, but I'm talking about in the area of people skills. I'm talking about people skills. So gratitude, thanks. So being thankful, yes, encouraging that person. But what else outside of that? Promote the main breadwinner. Wait, how? Think about this. How does every business... make money? It's sales. Everything boils down to sales. All of it does. Everything boils down to sales. If there's no sales, guess what? There's no business. Everything just simply boils down to sales. Everything does. So what if the kid... Now, I have met so many kids as I have gone around and I have interviewed different kids. Most of them don't know what their parents do for a living. They have no idea. And that's pretty sad. Oh, I think he, like, works with computers. Well, first of all, that kid has no interest. That mother never showed the child how to be interested in the father. That mother never showed the child how to respect the father and what the father is slaying his life down every day, 8 to 12 hours a day, to provide food on the table. Where did that food come from? Where'd the food come from? Did it just fall out of the freaking sky? Where'd the food come from? It came from the one who is working hard 10, 12 hours a day to put food on the table, right? And the many others that are connected to doing such a thing. So I'm amazed that when kids don't know what their parents do for a living, that's a massive disconnect. There's obviously a lack of intimacy in relationship in the family, okay? But that kid represents that family. And that kid builds relationships outside of the family, and that all represents the brand of the family. You know what's so cool that I love about what my kids do without even realizing that they're doing it? They actually spread the brand of our business everywhere they go without even trying. My oldest daughter has a bunch of people here right now this weekend. Someone that contacted her on YouTube, asked her questions. They own a company. They manufacture a product. They hunted her down. They are hunting her down. And in that hunting down, they're like, how did you learn how to do this? You need to go to DannyJohnson.com. In fact, there's a first step to success. If you want to know how I learned everything I know, it's right here on this website at this event that's taking place in Atlanta. You and your entire staff needs to be there. Why? They represent part of the family brand. Every single one of our kids represents the family brand. I represent the family brand. My husband represents the family brand. Do you understand? So we trained our kids on how to communicate with people, to build relationships with people, to find the need that somebody has, and to become referrers of other brands or whatever it was that the person needs back to them. So every child has the ability to help dad's job be secure. Every wife has the ability to help dad's job be as secure as possible. Why? Everything boils down to sales. Everything. Whether or not you have a job tomorrow is determined by sales. That's it. It's not determined by anything else. So what are you doing to increase the sales of the business that's providing for your family right now? Tell me. What are you doing to increase the sales of the business that is providing for your family right now? Well, that's not my job. That's a 98%er right there. No, that's his job. No, that's a 98%er right there. My job isn't sales. I work in the warehouse. Like I said, that's a 98%er. That's all 98%. No, you see, we are all responsible for helping a business to succeed. All of us. That's if, of course, you want to be in that 2%. If you want to always be having to look for something else, then that's a different story. Okay, Same with my son. My son has people here based on his influence, based on the relationships that he built. My son Micah, he's 18 years old. He has worked on a couple of movies, and in that, this young man, 18 years old, he built relationships for the weeks that he was working on a set. He built relationships. He got to know who those people were. He brought a smile on the job set. He did not overreact with a bunch of stuff. He strategically encouraged people on a daily basis. He worked his butt off, and he built a reputation for himself. So when the whole rap party was done, he had people come to him like, man, Micah, you have no idea. First of all, they didn't even realize he was 18. Why? Because he didn't act like an 18-year-old. He wasn't sitting on his phone constantly. He was engaged with the people. He learned people skills. So then when these people came up to him like, man, you're just awesome. Man, you encouraged me. Man, there were days where I thought I could not continue another hour on this project, and I'd look at you and you've got this big smile on your face. Well, Micah's smiling, everything must be fine. He became an influencer amongst a bunch of adults, and he was the least experienced person on the job. Why? He understands people skills. So how has that resulted in? Several of these people, it's so funny. He's been promoting First Steps of Success to every one of the people that he met on his crew. Telling them, hey, there are actresses and actresses who have been able to lock down jobs that they weren't able to get before because of the skills that they learned at this training seminar. You got to go. You got to come. You got to be a part of this. That's crazy. Is it 18-year-old talking to 30, 40, 50-year-olds? Encouraging them, smiling. I'm giving you how to increase your value with people, by the way. But that's okay if a fish is right over your head. That's your choice. All right, so money comes from people. Learn to solve people problems. Learn what motivates people. Learn what their needs are and help to fill what those needs are. Number two, the marketplace pays for value. The marketplace pays for value. What determines your value is your skill set. The marketplace doesn't pay for your excuses. The marketplace doesn't pay for your good looks. The marketplace doesn't pay for your personality. The marketplace pays for value, and your value is determined by your skill set. Your skill set is what you bring into the marketplace. How's that? What skill are you bringing that turns into a result that people want? So what value are you bringing? Now, if you want to increase your income, that means you have to increase your skill. So what area of skill is the marketplace asking for that is not being fulfilled? What skill and need does the marketplace have that you can learn to fulfill? So that's number two. Number three is increase profits. There's two ways to increase profits. One was already mentioned. One is by decreasing expenses. That makes you more valuable in the marketplace. That makes you more valuable in a job. That makes you more valuable in the home. That makes you more valuable as the business owner, because your company will not be profitable if your expenses are high. So there's two ways to do it. You can continue to grow sales, but if you're not efficient with the money, then you have no profits. So how can we increase profits? How many of you would like to learn how to increase profits? Let's go there. Okay, number one is you need to learn how to bring in new business and new referrals. Okay, new business, new referrals. Now, how do I do that and why would I do that? Okay, well, like I said, the 98%er lives a compartmentalized life, not even realizing that their life is connected to many other people's lives. 98%ers will only punch in and punch out. They're that 9-to-5-er or they're 10-to-6-er or whatever it is, whatever day of week, whatever the hours are. The question I have, is that you? Is that you? Because if that's how you are, you just found out why your income is stuck. If you want to increase your income, you got to have a much bigger vision over your career and a much bigger vision and idea of how you're interconnected with everybody you work with. You're interconnected with everybody that you live with, including your spouse, who might be the main breadwinner of the organization, meaning the organism of your family. All right, so how do I increase profits? One, you find more customers for the main breadwinner. The main breadwinner is the spouse. How can you as a family member, the daughter, the son, or the wife, find more customers for his job? Let's say that he works in the trucking business. How can you find more customers for that? It doesn't matter what the product or service is. How can you find more customers for that business? Whether he owns the business or not, doesn't matter. But you are representing the family and you're adding value to the one that's actually showing up 8 hours a day. Do you understand? And guess what? Word gets out. You see, I even know within my business who of the spouses are supportive and who are not. Who of the spouses spread the brand and who don't, who hates it. It shows up. So either it decreases the value of the employee or if it increases the value of the employee. So how can you get more customers? Let's talk about that for a minute. How do we find more customers for the business that you work for or the business that you own? How? I said, let's talk about that. I didn't say I am going to talk about that. I said, let's talk about that. How can you bring in more business and referrals, more sales into a business? So somebody says, talk to more people. Yeah, but what are you going to say to them? She says, find out their needs. Yes, young man, down there, what? Oh, you've been here before. You've been here before. Or mom and dad have let you listen to some audios, one or the other. Yes, you're going to learn how to build relationships. Learn how to build relationships with the public. All right, so look. First of all, in figuring out how to add more people to bring in more business and more referrals, let me just go here for a second. So that's the first thing. How do you increase the profits? You spend less money is one way, right? You can spend less money. Become more efficient, right? Two is bring in new business, new referrals. Three is learn how to retain more business, keeping people engaged. How do you keep more of the retention? How do you keep more of the current clients that are in that business? And last, bring in better talent than what is already there. Bring in better talent than what's already there. Do not settle for less talent. You want to continue to reach for higher and higher talent. You're not going backwards. You can only go forward. And by the way, the talent of an organization determines the outcome of the organization. It does. Employees build businesses. They do. And so if the talent of the employees is lacking, then the talent of the whole business is lacking. If the commitment level of the employees is lacking, then the commitment level of the whole business is lacking. Okay? If the organization lacks skill, then they will not be able to go to the places where they decide that they want to go. So it takes talent and skill to move a business and to grow a business. So I want you to look at your business now and say, wow, what is the commitment level of my people? What is my commitment level? What's our skill set level? Because what it is how much you're making. Do you understand? The current profits of the business is determined by the skill set of the entire organization, not just the owner, but the entire organization. It really does come back down to the owner, because the owner does not know how to increase the commitment. The owner doesn't know how to increase the skill, and the owner doesn't know how to find new talent. The business is stuck, okay? So we have what? Bring new referrals to the business. Learn to cut costs. Stop wasting money and time. Learn to retain more business, keeping the current customer engaged. And then last, bringing in what? Better talent than what is already there. Okay? So also with a customer, there's talent in your customers, you know. There's talent inside your customers. So that's the point of having people be engaged, right? How are your customers engaged with what your services or your product is? How do you keep that engagement actually happening? How do you keep that relationship continuing moving forward? So let's dissect all of this. So we're talking about bringing in new referrals and bringing in more customers. You have to decide, you have to know who it is that you're looking for. Who are you looking for? Who is your ideal customer? There's a book that I want to turn you on to that we were turned on to about a year ago. It's a really helpful book. It's an expensive book, but it is worth it. For a solid $18.99, I think it's a hardcover book, or $32.99, I think it's like $33. It's an important book to get a hold of, and it's not my book. And shoot. Huh? No, I was trying to remember the author. The name of the book is The Inside Advantage. The Inside Advantage will help you determine who your ideal customer is, who your core customer is. You see, if you don't know who your core customer is, you don't know who you're going after. And you can't just go after everybody because you don't want everybody. Not everyone is qualified to work with you or the business that you're working with. So The Inside Advantage, Bloom is the last name. Robert Bloom. Yeah, Robert Bloom is the author. It's a great book, and it's a short book. It's a short read, but it's an expensive one. And why? Because the knowledge that's inside of that book can unlock future growth for you. So, and it applies to everything. It applies to even finding a spouse. You know, who is the ideal person you're looking for? It's about getting specific. So who is your ideal customer? If you don't know who that is, you better figure that out. And that better be something that you focus on, like in the next 60 days. Get that worked out. Who is our target market? Who is our target customer? And I'm not talking about the target as far as, our demographics are ages 35 to 45. No, that's not your ideal customer. You need to be specific. When I started in the radio business, I cannot believe how long ago that was now. In 2009, wow. 2009 is when I got my first radio offer to be a radio show host, something I never wanted to do. But it was a great opportunity, and I'm glad I took advantage of it. But I hired somebody immediately, and that's another thing. That's another sign of a 2%er, is that if you don't know something, don't wing it. Find someone to teach you how. Invest into a coach. Invest into some courses. Invest into some books. Invest into learning how to get good at it. Yes, you start by winging, but don't keep winging. Do you understand? You've got to invest to learn how to get good at something. So when I heard the talent that was on this specific radio station, it happened to be down in Florida, I was like, wow, I do not want to sound anything like those people. I'm not going to say yes to the radio business to be like Joe or Sally, you know, part-timer little radio personality who sucks and doesn't know what she's doing and you just want to say, shut up! Okay, you flip the channel, right? So I knew, I don't know how to do this. Yes, I know how to talk, but I don't know how to captivate anybody on radio. So I went through an intensive training program. It was 24 weeks. It was $24,000. So those 24 weeks, $1,000 per coaching appointment that I paid, I learned one insanely valuable tip that I'm going to pass on to you right now. And that was figuring out who my core listener was. Figured out who I'm actually talking to. Now, I know that my message goes to anybody, now any kind of demographic, but if I'm not talking to one person, I'm not captivating anyone. So throwing out a big, giant net of non-specifics doesn't attract anything or anybody. So my radio teacher told me to make a list of 50 things that described my listener, the main core listener that was listening on this particular station in this particular show at this particular time of the day. So I did. I came up with a demographic, and I used the skill set that I'm about to teach you to basically uncover this avatar. I created an avatar of who this person actually was, all the way down to the jeans that they wore, what they did for work. Her name was Roxanne. She was divorced once, married again, flirting with her new boss. She works in a doctor's office as a receptionist. She wears Lucky jeans. She shops every weekend. She brings takeout home 3 to 4 nights a week. She fights with her husband constantly. Thus, she is flirting with her boss, who is the doctor. So when I would create my radio content, I would say, I know where you're at right now. You're on the way to the mall. Because you don't want to deal with the crap you got going on at home with your 3 kids who are out of control. And I know you are flirting with your boss at work. I cannot tell you. How did you know? Okay? No joke. I wrote down there $300,000 in debt, right? She had a college degree. So now I would talk about her college days. I would talk about the stress that's happening at work. I talk about the 12-year-old and how it's driving her crazy. Yes, that's me. I'm going nuts. Okay? Because I'm talking to a very specific person. Now, that doesn't mean that she doesn't know other people and that somebody else is in the car not listening. Do you understand? So it's very, so just like in the book, The Inside Advantage, okay, very similar concept. And you have to come up with who is my ideal customer, not target market, customer. Target market's this big old thing, right? And it's nonspecific. But who is the ideal customer that you're looking for? So many of you know that I started in the weight loss business when I was fat and gaining a pound a day. And when I was in that, I didn't like want to get into that business. In fact, I was using a product that I was, I wasn't using the product. I was gaining a pound a day, right? And the stuff gave me gas, okay? I hated the taste of it. There were too many pills to swallow. It wasn't my kind of thing. I didn't like wake up out of high school and go, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to get in the weight loss business. No, that wasn't at all. I wanted to be a social worker. If I had the chance to go to college, I wanted to either be a social worker, a lawyer, so I could put all the people who abuse kids in jail, and or a senator, so that then I could make laws that would protect children better than the way children were being protected now. Now, obviously, that all came out of my childhood, right? So be a social worker. I want to rescue people who are hurting. Okay, well, if I could, you know, create laws and put people in jail that I thought should be in jail. Okay, i.e. my stepfather. Anyway, so I don't know why I told you that, but I started in the weight loss business. That's why I told you that. So what happens is that when you're desperate, you don't get to pick what you want to do. When you're desperate, you got to do what's in front of you, right? So when I started in the weight loss business, that was what was in front of me. I had purchased a weight loss program, answered an ad, okay? And from this ad, I buy this thing. I last for 3 days. I totally get disillusioned with it. It's over. I'm done with it, okay? So then a couple weeks later, I end up homeless. And that box is in the back of my car, and it's food. And I need to increase my income. I got to figure out something else to do, right? So that thing that I didn't like, however, I knew that other people did like it. I knew that other people had results with it. I knew that somebody else out there on the big island of Hawaii, where it is fashionable to be large, somebody just said, I'm moving to Hawaii. Okay, it's cultural. Like the larger you are, the wealthier you are in that culture. And here I have a weight loss program, but I didn't know that that culture was the larger you are, the wealthier you are. So I'm going to just help people lose weight. So my target mark, my target customer would have been what? If I have a weight loss program that my business is selling, who is my target customer? Okay, look, someone just said, I'll say people who need to lose weight. But there's nothing specific about that, is there? There's nothing specific. Nothing becomes what? Nothing becomes until it becomes, right? So, okay, I'm looking for people who need to lose weight. But is that really all I'm looking for? I can find all kinds of people that need to lose weight. But is that what's going to help my business become successful? Not necessarily. What am I going to do? Put up a big sign that says, do you need to lose weight? Call me now. It might work to catch some. But I became more specific than just I'm looking for people to need to lose weight. So who would be a better customer than someone that needs to lose weight? People who are tired of fad diets. Okay, someone says, moms, really? There's no fat guys out there? Say what? Fitness trainer, why would I try to sell a weight loss program to a fitness trainer? Because they work with people that do, okay? So that might be where I might find some of my ideal customers, but that is not my ideal customer. My ideal customer is not a fitness trainer, right? Because they're not even going to consume my product, are they? Will they be my customer? No, they're not going to be my customer, but they could become a referrer of the customer. Does that make sense? So who's my ideal customer? If I have a weight loss product, and we're just using this as an example, if I have a weight loss product, who is my ideal customer? Someone says Dunkin' Donuts. People who are unhappy because they're overweight. Because there's lots of people that need to lose weight, but they are fat and happy. Right? So I'm looking for someone who is dissatisfied about being overweight. Who? What else would define my ideal customer?
They don't have time to cook.
They don't have time to cook? So you mean they have excuses. They eat junk food, which means they have excuses. Is that my ideal customer? Someone who wants to change their life is my ideal customer. Okay? My ideal customer is not some broad field with a whole bunch of excuses. My ideal customer is someone who needs to lose weight, who is unhappy about where their weight is, who is desperate to change and willing to do whatever it takes to lose weight. That's my ideal customer. Not just someone needs to lose weight. So isn't that a little bit different than just someone who needs to lose weight? Do you understand? So this is why it's important to figure that out. Now you're going to talk to that person about what their emotions are and what their needs are. You're going to talk specifically to what that is. Are you tired of not being able to play with your children because you're carrying an extra 50 pounds? Are you tired of feeling embarrassed and keeping yourself covered all the time and not even showing yourself to your spouse because you are ashamed of what he might see? Do you hear what I'm saying? Now we're talking directly into that person who is desperate for change, who does not like where they're at, so you speak to what they don't like, and that's how you will find your ideal customer. So really what it is what problem do you solve for the customer? What problem do you solve? What problem do they have? And you find people with that problem, okay? So when it comes to weight loss for me, what I was looking for was even deeper than what we've already said. And this is what it was. I was looking for 40 before and after photos, which now took me to my ideal customer is very committed. Do you understand? Versus they're going to try it for a month and quit. So what I was looking for when I'm talking to somebody was very, very clear. I am not looking for someone who's going to try this like another fad diet and quit and have to find another one again. I am looking for someone who is deadly serious about losing weight once and for all and will submit a before and an after picture to prove that they have done it. So I'm looking for a serious commitment here. And I'm looking for someone that their values and mine are in alignment. So therefore, this makes it really easy to close deals because it's a perfect match. Because when I'm talking to that person and I share with that kind of conviction and passion about what it is that I'm looking for, that person's passion and conviction is rising. This is a perfect match. They don't think I'm trying to make money off of them. They think that I have the same goal they have, which is true. I want a before and after picture, which means they will have to lose their 100 pounds. They would have had to lose their 50 pounds. Whatever it is that they need to lose, if they're going to become a before and after picture, they're fully committed to do whatever it takes to get themselves there. So who is your ideal customer? Who's the ideal customer of the main source of income inside your household? Who's that ideal customer? You need to think about that. You need to decide, who do I want to actually work with? You're not just going to work with anybody. I don't just work with anybody. You need to decide who is that core, that one that I want to replicate again and again and again and again. What customers do you not want to have again? Because how many of you have ever had some bad ones? Do you want to repeat that process? You might be doing something that is repeating that process. Without even realizing it, there might be something that you're doing in your presentation, in your process, that is attracting the wrong customer versus looking for the right one, the qualified one. Do you hear me? You need to qualify that customer. And if they don't meet the qualifications, it's not a fit. It's real simple. It's no hard feelings. It's just not a fit. They don't fit, and you don't fit for them. Does that make sense? So you send them on their way and you be about your way looking for who that ideal customer is. Okay, so that's the first thing is you have got to figure out who are you looking for. Most people don't have a clue. So how do you find out? Well, if you're working for someone else, it might be good to ask the boss, who's our ideal customer? Who are we looking for? Because I might know people that would fit perfectly with our business. With our product, with our service. I might have some friends, some family members, some old coworkers. Who is the kind of customer you guys are looking for? Because every business is looking for a customer. Okay, number two, where are they? Now that's where we get into the fitness trainer thing. Where are your ideal customers? Where can you find them? Where do they shop? Where do they go to church? Where do they eat? What do they do for entertainment? Where do their kids go to school? So once you create this profile and you identify who this ideal customer is, now you can go, where do I find these people? Where are they? They're somewhere. Here's another good question to ask is, who else is that customer doing business with? I'm not talking about your competitor. I'm talking about, who else do they do business with? Because they're buying other things from other people. Do you understand? That customer is also a customer of something else, right? So where is that? Where else do they do business? And you can link arms with that business. Do you understand? You can link arms with that business. You can create promotions for that business to attract those customers. It's a win-win situation. You can use, for example, how many of you have the script books? Okay, awesome. How many of you use the script books? How many of you don't know what the script books are? Okay, just like 10 of you. Okay, we'll talk about that later. So in our script books, we have two script books, okay? It has a script for every possible scenario that I have personally used to increase sales. And thousands and tens of thousands of people have used these script books to do the same. So it's a script on how to talk to various different types of people. People you haven't talked to in a really long time, how to get referrals, how to leave a voicemail, how to close a sale, how to handle objections, the objections of, I don't have the money, we don't have the time, I need to talk to my spouse, how to handle all of those objections, how to talk to people that you feel are like smarter than you, how to talk to people who that you screwed up with in the past. I mean, literally, there's a script for all of these things. It's a very simple book. All you do is read it, meaning read it to another person. So in that script book, it has a place called a networking approach. There's a network approach. And what does that mean? If I'm in insurance, okay, if I market insurance policies, who is my ideal customer? Let's say it's car insurance, home insurance, life insurance. Who's my ideal customer? Okay, a homeowner, car owner, right? Say what? Yeah, so maybe a parent. Customers of other insurance companies. No, those are my direct, that's my direct competition. But who would it make sense for me to link arms with? If I sell car insurance, who does it make sense for me to link arms with? Car dealerships. Okay, you're getting the point. Okay, why? Because my customer is at the car lot. Okay, where's another place that my customer is at? Banks. Where else? Auto mechanic shops. Real estate agents. Car wash, which now are mostly automated. I mean, they're, you know, pretty much almost all the car washes today are automated. Does that make sense? So it's looking for the place where these people are at, which is why it's important for you to identify, who's my profile? Who am I specifically looking for? Are they married? You decide whether or not they're married. You get to decide who the person is, right? Okay. So, in fact, let me ask you a question. How many of you are a person who is experiencing or has experienced frustration in the area of money, career, or family, and is willing to do whatever it takes to add more peace and fulfillment and satisfaction into your life? How many of you, that's it? Raise your hands, wave at me. Guess what? You are our ideal customer. I just spoke to you, our ideal customer. So why are you here? Why are you here? Because you have been dealing with frustration in the area of family, money, and career, and are willing to do whatever it takes to learn the new skills to bring more peace, fulfillment, and satisfaction in your life. Make sense? So how did we get you? We talked about frustration in the area of marriage, parenting, money, and career. We talked about those problems. So because we talked about those problems, you went, hey, help. We proved to you that we've helped other people with the same thing, with the results. The testimonials proved to you that, hey, those people were in the same shoes I was, and they are no longer. What do I have to learn to do it? What's the cost? I don't care what the cost is. Help! If you break your leg, bones sticking out, flesh everywhere, your main artery, what do you care about? What do you care about? Somebody help! You care about getting to the right professional to help save your life, right? You're not thinking about anything else besides that. If somehow you went to jail, and I'm not going to ask who has been there before, what is the only thing you care about? Getting out. That's the only thing you care about is getting out. So to find your ideal customer, first you have to identify who they are, and then you got to talk about what it is that is frustrating them, what is bringing pain to them, what it is. Again, you have a solution. You've got to present that solution in the form of a problem, because people respond to the pain of the problem. They don't respond to the benefit. They respond to the pain of the problem. So you highlight that problem. So I demonstrated that earlier about the whole weight loss thing, okay? Am I looking for someone that just needs to lose weight? No, that's just nonspecific. That's just open-ended. It is what it is. Some people have in their head that they're always going to be that way because their mother was that way. They have no intention to ever do anything about it. But when I'm talking specifically to the pain and the suffering of the embarrassment and not wanting to be intimate with my husband because of the way that I look, because I'm self-conscious, I won't go after a job that I really would like to have, because I feel so bad about myself, I'm not leaving my bedroom, because I feel so bad about myself, I am burying myself in those beautiful organic Cheetos that I like a lot. Do you understand? So it's getting to the core of the emotion and getting to the core of the problem. I think that is so funny. Again, how many of you have experienced frustration with family, money, and career? And how many of you are willing to do whatever it takes to relieve that frustration? And how many of you are willing to do whatever it takes and learn whatever the skill is so that you will have more peace, more clarity, more fulfillment, and more satisfaction in your life? I love it. So define who your ideal customer is. Who are they? Where are they? Let me ask this question. How many of you go to church? Raise your hands. Wow. Well, look at that. Imagine that. How many of you are in some kind of a business that you own? You've started a business, whether it's a part-time little thing that you do from your bedroom or it's a full-time brick-and-mortar business. Where are all the business people? Oh, let's say, or look at you. Our other customer is a person. Wait, who here is a person? Just checking. Okay. Who here is not an accountant? Not an accountant. Oh, look around the room. Because if I was an accounting firm, I would write something that would be geared towards what? Accounting. Right? That would be my ideal customer. I'm going to recruit other accountants so I can build my firm. Okay, so let's move on. Who are you looking for? Where are they? Where do they shop? Okay. So when I said a person who is frustrated with family, which means perhaps they have some kids, or they could be frustrated with their siblings. They're frustrated with relationships. They're frustrated with their job. They're frustrated with the money and the lack of it. Okay? Where are they? You get to decide that. You get to make it up. You're going to make up your own person, the ideal person you want to do business with. Okay? Who else do they do business with? We already went there. Now let's go here. Another way to get another strategy in getting business and referrals, this is really, really important. Is to tap into your own list of resources. Once you know who the ideal customer is, now you tap into your list of resources. This is really, really important. Let me explain something really quick. That can't be true. That's absolutely wrong. But that's correct. Oh, I'm going to shut you up. Shut up. Shut up. It worked. Okay. All right. So, shut up. Stop talking to me. Okay. So your list of resources. Let's talk about the simplicity of business and how it's done. First of all, I think I got to do it this way. I think I'm not going to do it this way. Now this one's talking to me. I have a shock collar on, by the way. If you're wondering what's going on, it's a shock collar. Okay. All right. So to get more business and referrals, I'm not going to go in that. I'm going to go in that after the break. Here's some places of where to look, right? We were talking about who else does your customer do business with? Where are they? How many of you are on Facebook? Raise your hands. Wow. Okay. How many of you are registered voters? Wow. How many of you, I'm not even going to ask that question. How many of you are Democrats? Democrats. How many of you are libertarians? You're like, what? That was the non-registered voter that asked that question. How many of you are Green Party people? Tea Party people? You're like, screw those parties. Where's my conservatives? Where's the independents? Cool. That's interesting. We got y'all. We got it all. We have every kind of political representation here in the room. Who doesn't give a rip about politics? How do you think it's a sham and a scam and a big game? A divisive plan to keep people weak. Absolutely. So we have everybody in the room, including the conspiracy theorist. We got them all. Why? Because we don't care what you vote. We don't care who you vote for. We just care that you are a person who is frustrated with family, money, and career that is willing to do whatever it takes to make the appropriate changes in your life to get more peace, clarity, satisfaction, and fulfillment. That's what we care. That's what we deliver. Make sense? All right. So where? Well, you just said you're all on Facebook, all right? How many of you are in some kind of social media? You are engaged somewhere on social media, all right? So therefore, we target that place. Do you understand? Our ideal customer engages on Facebook. So we target that place for that particular customer. How many of you, what do you like to do in your community? So that's another place. Like, where are they? How are they involved inside of their community? And that's the place where you can find the customer, is that you get involved with your community. If you're getting involved with your own list of resources, sorry, I almost burped really loud, but I was able to catch it twice. I have the biggest burps in our family. I do. I am the lion that roars. There has been a lot of people trying to compete with that too, but no one's won yet. I mean, if there's something to be proud about, I am the chief burper in the house. Maybe one day you'll hear. Anyway, that all depends on how close we get. All right. So where is the ideal customer? Where is the ideal customer? They are in your own personal list of resources. Your ideal customer is in your own personal list of resources. Your ideal customer, perhaps, is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They are perhaps on YouTube. Based on the fact that 1 billion people are currently on Facebook, would you say there's probably a good chance your ideal customer might be on Facebook? How many people are on YouTube? How many? It's millions and millions. Is it 1 billion yet? I don't know. But I know that there's 1 billion on Facebook, so there's a good chance that your customer is on Facebook, okay? LinkedIn, all those places. Again, when you define who that is, but here's one thing I do know. Your ideal customer is in your list of resources, clearly. And that is nothing but free advertising right there. All of that is free. It costs nothing. Same with Facebook. We built our main Facebook page organically. Majority of our likes on our page have come completely organic. And how and why? Because we are targeting our specific core customer. We are talking to someone who is frustrated about family, finance, and career. They're frustrated about those things. So when you start talking about those things, that is indirectly advertising for what you have. Okay? All right. There's also your core customer you can advertise for. Radio, television, right? Social media, direct mail, flyers, all that stuff. All of those things work. They all work really well. All right, so how do you specifically fill the need of that core customer? Here's what I want to do. I would like to have two people come up here with me. I need Delasia Waitley. Is it Delasia Waitley? Delasia, sorry, so sorry. Please forgive me for jacking your name up. It's a beautiful, beautiful name. And then the other person is Sally. I should have just picked easy names. It'd be Sally Hilsheim. Sally? SallyHilsheim. Okay, perfect. Well, hi, gorgeous. How are you? This is not your first time here. You have a twin. There was a microphone. I got it right here. I got it. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you single?
Yes.
So is Justin. And he's a good guy.
And I'm a college student.
Well, that's perfect. He's graduated since then from college, but that's perfect. That's really perfect. Okay. I have these two women up here based on a question that they asked me, okay? So the question that Delasia?
Yes.
Such a beautiful name.
Thank you.
The question that Delasia asked, without any glasses, is I'm a student at Fort Valley State University, and I want to start a clothing line. What would be the first step for me to do in becoming a business owner? That's a fabulous question. And I'm excited that you're here. Have you learned anything yet about becoming a business owner?
I haven't.
You haven't learned a thing about becoming a business owner.
Well, I took financial literacy classes.
This microphone goes right here.
I've taken financial literacy classes in high school.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Did you learn anything here so far today about
becoming a business owner?
Yes. That means you've been awake. That's really, really good. Okay. Now, Sally, she says, I've landscaped for 40 years.
Wow.
I've landscaped for 40 years. How do I start over at age 57?
Right.
She's lost everything. She's lost her husband, her community, her business, her everything. So how in the world do you start over? Number one, Sally?
Come here.
Come here? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Hats off to you, woman.
Yeah, thank you.
Because there's other women that the same thing has happened to them, and they're crying the blues at home. But you made an investment in yourself. You are here to find a solution to this dilemma that you're in. I have to start all over. My kids are gone. Business is gone. Husband is gone. Now he's just someone else's problem, honey.
Yeah.
Okay? You're 57 years old. You have the rest of your life to do it right. Mm-hmm. So you have 40 years of experience in landscaping. What do you think you could do?
Manage, maybe.
Manage what?
Manage something, maybe.
Maybe something? Let me help you.
Manage landscape business?
I don't know where you got that clue from, but I'm so glad you did. Okay, so you have, 40 years of landscaping. Is there anybody here that does not have 40 years of landscaping experience? Look at that. Wow.
Right.
You have 40 years of landscaping business. What kind of skill sets can you bring to the marketplace?
I think I have a lot of knowledge about plants.
So, and you have business experience.
Right.
And your next step is?
Maybe I should take my truck out of the garage. Again.
And start your landscaping.
Okay. Start it over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you know more today than you did when you first started that landscaping business 40 years ago?
Oh, yeah, by far.
So wouldn't you think that'd make it easier?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know how to get a customer?
Yeah.
And do you know how to keep the customer coming back for more of your 40 years of landscaping experience?
Yeah, good quality.
So you know how to get a customer. You know how to engage the customer and keep them coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You actually know how to do the landscaping. Do you know how to run the books?
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm going to try that again. Do you know how to run the books?
Yes.
Okay. So we know how to start a business. We know how to get a customer. We know how to keep a customer. We know how to run the books of the landscaping business. We know how to landscape. We have a lot of knowledge of plants and a truck already. And the name of your landscaping new business is?
Well, it was Summer Valley, so.
So what is it now?
Summer Valley.
Just checking, just to make sure. So does it matter that you're 57?
I guess not.
Let me try that again. Does it matter that you are 57?
No.
Or does it help that you are 57? Would you ever want to go back to 27?
No.
Me neither. You would never want to go back to 27 when you didn't know how to get a customer, you didn't know how to landscape, you didn't know all that you know about plants, and you didn't know how to keep books. You wouldn't want to go back there.
Right.
So you're starting from a strength position?
Wow. Yes.
Go back to your seat. So now, there's the rest of y'all. You see, she's having to start over. Now, would I tell her, go back to school and get a degree in engineering? No. You already have a base of an amazing amount of experience right now that can translate into what? Well, maybe she's in a place where, I don't know if I want to do all that physical work. Great. Hire other people. Sow your 40 years of knowledge and expertise in raising up a team of the best landscapers in town. Learn to provide jobs for other people. Learn to help families take care of themselves and teach them the art of taking care of the land and taking care of the customer and getting new customers. That is a wealth of knowledge that's inside of a 57-year-old woman who's got 40 years left on the planet. What do you want to do with the next 40 years? You take what you got and you make it better. That's what you do with the rest of your life. You take what you got and you make it better. But now we're 20 who?
I'm 19.
Oh, ho, go, wow. You don't look like you're 19.
Is that a good or bad thing?
You look like you're 25. You carry yourself very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But that microphone needs to get closer to your mouth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She beautiful. You see that beautiful thing?
Thank you.
Are you single?
Yes, once again.
Single. You're sure you're single?
I'm positive.
I know a guy. His name is Justin Edge. Okay. All right. So let's walk through, how do I start a business? Because, by the way, that's going to be my point number four. OK, Okay? So remember I said three areas of how to increase your income. Number one was, you're going to want your notepad. Okay? Number one to increasing your income was what? Solve people problems. Increase your people skills, remember? Number one way to increase your income is to increase your people skills. Okay? The bigger the problems you solve with people, the bigger the paycheck. The bigger the problems you solve, the bigger the paycheck. Okay? Number two was? Marketplace pays for value. Increase your value, which means increase your what? Skill set. Increase your skill set. What skill? The current skill you're bringing to the marketplace is yielding a current value. If you do not possess the skill of hiring, training, and managing a team, you've got to learn that skill. If you're looking at the commitment level of your current sales force or your current organization, your church, your business, and they all suck, it's a direct reflection of your skill set. You don't have yet the ability to pull the best out in them, and or you don't have the ability to recruit better talent. Those are all skills. What 98%ers do is they complain that they can't find good workers. No, you just don't have the skill to find the good workers. Trust me, major corporations all over the world are finding good workers every single day. Good workers are going to where they value and where they will be valued. Did you hear what I said? Good workers are going to a place of value where they will be valued. Okay, so you have to learn how to value people and make them feel valued in order for you to get the right kind of talent that you're looking for. Okay, so we talked about those three things. I mean, number three was increase what? Profits. Okay, what are two ways to increase profits? Decrease expenses and increase the customers coming in. All right? All right, now, you guys have all of that. You can walk out of here right now and go work on that list and be done. Go home, work on that list, and you will increase your income. But let me give you a fourth thing that you can do to increase your income. Here's number four. I didn't promise you four. I promised you what? Three. Here's your bonus. Start a business. Start a business. That's another way you can increase your income. Okay? I just finished showing you in the last hour, okay, that the head of the household bringing in the main of the income, how you can increase, how my own children have increased the brand. Okay? They don't work. My daughter doesn't work for the business. My son doesn't work for the business. Do you understand? Okay, I have one son that does, and he, by golly, better be increasing the brand, right? He, by golly, better be. If he wants to stay employed here, and if this is a family business, you better be promoting this everywhere you go. And I know that he does. He took a little break from working with our business and went over to Domino's. What did he use? He used all the skills that he learned here to go from, hello, how, Roman, where are you? On a break. Dang it. I think it was 16 or 17 when he started at Domino's, got promoted within months to manager. They had to hold back his management. They gave him the keys to the store and everything as a, hello, minor. As a, hello, minor. They broke their own rules. They couldn't give him the title or the pay until the day he turned 18. Day he turned 18, he was managing a store. He became the general manager within 3 months after that. General manager of an entire store that does over $1 million in sales every single year. He's managing people in their 40s and he's 18 years old. Want to hear a funny story? He has one of the guys that he's managing, one of the drivers that he's managing. The guy comes in and he's like, dude, have you ever heard of Danny Johnson? It happens to our kids all the time. Okay, so Roman's like, oh, what do you mean? He's, dude, man, I found her on YouTube. Like, she's amazing. And my mom's like listening to Spirit-Driven Success. Have you ever heard of Spirit-Driven Success? Yeah, I think I have heard of Spirit-Driven Success. Yeah, in fact, I think I have. And then Roman like pops it on him. He's like, dude, that's my mom. He's like, not. That's not your mom. No, it is my mom. No, it's not your mom. Roman's like, hold it, yo. He goes, Google Danny Johnson's family. In fact, just Google Danny Johnson. Click on images. All right? Just scroll. Booyah! There I am with my mom. That's my mom, my brother Cabe, and my brother Micah at our house right here in this town. Danny Johnson lives here? Okay. Anyway, My kids promote wherever they go. Why? They've grown up understanding value. They've grown up understanding people. They've grown up promoting things. They were trained since they were... Roman came out of the room promoting. Out of the womb. Like, there was no choice. Anyway, start a business. That's another way that you can increase your income. That if you don't want to help the current business that you're working for to grow, you're an idiot if you have that attitude, by the way. And you'll never make it in your own business if you don't go back and make the current business that you're working for to grow. I'm going to say that again. Why? You reap what you sow. What kind of an employee you are will determine the kind of employees you recruit. Because you recruit who you are. And you reap what you sow. So if you are a terrible employee and you can't wait to fire your boss and you hate Mondays and you can't wait till Fridays and you can't stand your coworkers and you don't even like the product that you're a part of and you've never sent a referral to that business, guess what? Woo! You will reap what you sow. And if you actually think I'm going to go start a business and I'm going to do really good, yeah. Wait till you have your first employee steal from you. Like my first one that stole from me. Why? Because I was a stupid kid. And I actually stole from an employer as a teenager. And it came right back around. Smacked me right in the... What did your grandma call it? Oh, she does. I was looking for a different word. That's the word I wanted to say, but I was looking for like tush or something. No, she just called it a donkey. An ass. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, it's a donkey. That word's in the Bible. I can say it. Anyway, so my point is that if you want to be successful in business, start in your job today. Start with job domination today. Dominate it today. I'm going to tell you something. My first business, I failed the first 6 months because I was trying to become a business owner. This is going to crack you all up. Okay? I was trying to become a business owner and I failed miserably. When I turned my business into, well, I'm not the owner anymore and I'm actually a high-level employee and I'm in charge of human resources, I freaking exploded my business. I didn't know how to be a business owner, but I knew how to be a committed employee. Yep. I did not know how to be an entrepreneur, but I knew how to give it my all as an employee. I knew how to be totally committed as an employee. I knew how to show up on time. I knew how to promote the videos that the video store was selling. I knew how to keep my space clean. I knew how to be better than their other workers that were around me that were lazy and gossiping about the boss. I knew how to ask more questions, to learn more stuff so I could actually get better at what I was doing. I knew how to be an awesome employee. And as soon as I got it in my head that I was an employee of my own business, I got rid of the business owner and I just became an employee. And I exploded my business, making $50,000 in 6 months. How many of you are awesome employees? Is that what your boss says? Many bosses, many owners of a business want more out of their employees than what they're willing to put in themselves. And this is why their business fails. Is because they're not as committed as some of their employees are. That's happened to me several times. That's been me from time to time. Seriously. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I'm bored. I've made lots of money. Goodbye. That's no commitment. Like, I just want to sit on a beach, man, and just read by myself. Just want to read. I don't want to answer email. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't make any decisions. Read. So I believe that great employees can make great business owners. But the first place that you got to practice your entrepreneurial skills and entrepreneurial desires is on your job. Become the best at what you do. Become the best at what you do. Become the best at asking questions. Become the best at learning. Become the best at serving. Become the best at getting customers and bringing them into the store, whatever the storefront is, whether it's a web or it's a brick and mortar, okay? But if you want to increase your income in another way, and by the way, that will increase your income. If you put on the mindset of an employeepreneur and you treat the place as though you own the place, if you want to own the place. Do you understand what I mean? Meaning, owning a business was terrifying to me. Still is, by the way. Okay? Owning a business is terrifying to me. It doesn't meet my profile. My personality profile doesn't meet it. Not at all. There's this other profile. Man, you'd be starting businesses in your sleep. That's not Danny Johnson. No, 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 no. Okay, but if you are, you hear the frog in my throat? Isn't that cool? That's a neat, cool, that's a cool trick. Okay, anyway. I thought it was, did you hear it? It left. It's okay. Yeah, it's gone. Anyway. You got one too? That's good. Okay, so in the case of this young lady, she wants to start a business. That's another way to increase your income. You see, there's some people in this room, they've wanted to start a business and own a business since they were yay high to a grasshopper. Is that you?
Yes.
Yes. The microphone works in your mouth. Well, how the heck did that happen? Because you went to get your notes. I'm going to take you home with me. Okay. I have one more son that's not married, by the way. Anyway, and he's hot. He's so cute. But he ain't ready for nothing. He's like, no thanks. Okay. She cute. She cute. She cute. My poor son. The last one that hasn't been married, man. It's like people all the time are trying to hit him, hook him up with their daughters. Micah, you didn't meet my daughter. He's like, no. It's like, now his poor mother from the stage is, you need to meet. No, he don't need to meet nobody. Okay, so starting a business. Listen to me carefully. I have 4 minutes. So how do you do it? Okay, so where are you that have like dreamed of being a business owner since you were yay high or grasshopper? Okay, awesome. How many of you did not? Awesome. Cool. Isn't it great to know that even if you didn't dream of being a business owner, you could still become a successful business owner by being the best employee in the office? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely you can. Okay. So for these people right here, that like this has been their dream, all right? That's a great way to increase your income. It's a great way to control your income. And I have to tell you, the business that I started in was the most unlikely business. The most unlikely industry to be involved in. But there's something I learned in that industry that completely gripped me, groomed me, prepared me for owning businesses. I've been a business owner and have employed people for 20. I've employed other people for 27 years. 27 years I've provided jobs for other people. Prior to that, I had a business where I provided opportunity to people and didn't have to have employees, but I could provide an opportunity for them to direct their income. And that's the business I was birthed in almost 30 years ago. There's a lot I learned from that business. I want to talk to you about that because I'm going to show you exactly how to start your clothing business, okay?
Yes.
Okay. So when you start a business, you need capital. Do you know what capital is?
No. Can you explain it for me?
I love you. Capital is money.
Gotcha.
Okay? So you need money to start a business, or at least that's the general consensus, that you need money to start a business, all right? Now, yes, money is important, because how in the world is she going to invest into her clothing line unless she has some cash, capital, up front to start a business? Well, it doesn't have to be your money. It could be somebody else's money. So whether that is private investors, which is who? Grandma. She got a shoebox under her bed. Anyway, so it could be, again, your list of resources, which is hugely important. I'm going to write this word down right here. L-O-R, okay, list of resources. Your list of resources is a list of every single connection you've ever made in 19 years, okay?
Yes.
Anyone you've ever worked for, your entire family, do you understand? And from your list of resources, from this list of resources, every single person you know knows 2,000 people you do not know. Social scientists have determined through their social studies that by the time you're 20, you know 2,000 people by the time you're 20. So between every person you know, you want to make a list of at least 1,000 people yourself. I would get the list to 2,000 people. Now, let's just do simple math. Simple math. And by the way, every business we have ever started has started from that right there. This is actually more valuable than capital. I'm going to say that again. This right here, the list of resources, is actually more valuable than cash. It is that one thing. And everybody in the household has one of those. Everyone in the household has contacts. Even your four-year-old who goes to preschool. Do you understand? Who are his contacts? Other four-year-olds. Who do the four-year-olds know? Ding, 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 ding! Who do the parents know? At least 2,000 people. Do you understand? I have gained customers from my kids' classmates. My longtime friend now, 17 years this month, Mona McGrady, who's here working this event with me. 17 years we've been together and working together for 14. Her son and my daughter were in the second grade together. And that's how we met. Do you understand? So even your children have valuable contacts. Your list of resources is more valuable than capital investors. Why? Because one capital investor is just one name on one list. Your list of resources being 1,000 to 2,000, according to social scientists, it's 2,000 names. How many capital investors are in there? How many? How many? Who knows? You won't know until you do what? Pick up the phone and start talking. Okay? So this list of resources is where the money is. Okay? The money how? Number of different ways. One, money to perhaps invest in helping you start your clothing business. Two, who else is in here? Who's in this list of names? What do you think? Do you think out of any of these 2,000 people, any one of them might be a customer of yours?
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
Customers? What about employees?
Most definitely.
You see how valuable this list of names is? It's not only capital in here. It's customers in here. It's employees that are in here. You think there's people in here smarter than you that have skill sets in business that you don't have that you can learn from?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, connections to manufacturers. There perhaps is some lawyers, some accountants in here that help that can get that kind of stuff set up for you. Right? Right here? This is more important than the money. This has huge, huge, high value. So this needs to be the first thing that you do is you make a list of resources. Inside the script book, in the very back of it, it teaches you exactly how to make that list and to get that number up to here. Okay? So you start with the list of resources. The list of resources brings money, brings talent, brings other people's list of resources, because let's just do the math. To keep the math simple, let's start with 1,000. 1,000 people who each know 2,000 people. What's 1,000 times 2,000?
20,000.
Is what? 2 million people? Do you think out of 2 million people you might be able to build a business?
No.
Do you think out of 2 million people you might be able to find some investors? Do you think out of 2 million people you might be able to find some good employees? Do you think out of 2 million people you might be able to find people who are smarter than you that can help you, whether it is by a business arrangement or you hire them to help you? Or you get to have coffee with them and glean from their wisdom. You think out of 1 million people, you might be able to make some money? There's no question. So, you got to make that list. That list is the most important thing to start with, right? I'm going to give you a chance right now. We're going to take a 10-minute break. Some of you have to pee. Run. Those of you that don't, start making your list. 10-minute break. Come on. Hi. Okay. So let's get back over here. Where am I at? I'm right here. All right. So this list of resources is very powerful. How many of you just learned that? Okay. This is more powerful than capital. Okay. It is. A million people is what you have access to at a very minimum. If you learn the skill of being able to communicate with those people, The lid's about to fly off of your business and it's going to explode. So in the case of starting, now again, this list of resources can be used for your job. Are you hearing me? This list of resources can be used for every need you have. If you're in constant need of babysitters, where do you find them? Your list of resources. The problem is people reach for excuses before they reach for their list. They reach for the excuse before they reach for the solution. The solution is right here in the list of resources. So who to hire, who to replace, the plumber is in this list. The list goes on, and all who they know, okay? So with starting a business, you need a product, okay? And so you want to start a clothing business, right? So do you have to develop the clothing yourself?
I don't have to develop the clothing, but I have to develop the design.
Okay, or do you even have to do that? So let me show you. Business is really simple. You use other people's money, other people's ideas, and other people's efforts. Okay? You use other people's money, other people's ideas, other people's efforts. You see, business is really simple. Business is basically marketing something to someone. That's it. You're matching a something to someone. That's it. So do I have to develop the thing? No. I can take somebody else's thing and sell it to someone, right? My goddaughter, who lives up in Washington, D.C., she also is a college student, and she's making $2,000 a month with this simple process. She goes to thrift stores. She buys items that she sells on eBay, making $2,000 profit. Her profit is $2,000 a month. So she's learned right here how to start a business making $2,000 a month. How? Well, she has found a product, t-shirts, old shoes, everything that somebody else has thrown away. She's paid 25 cents for some of these items that she sold for $10. Okay? She's not looking to get rich. She's looking, as a broke college student, how to make a couple extra $1,000 so that she can take on less debt as she pursues her PhD. Instead of having $500,000 worth of debt, she wants less. And so she's making $2,000 a month, okay? All right, so you don't have to create the clothing line yourself. You can market somebody else's clothes. And there's actually businesses already set up where you can actually market clothes by a designer already. Okay? Did you say Shopify? Shopify is a cart. That's not a clothing line. You can market anything, meaning that's a cart. That's for a website. So my goddaughter uses somebody else's website called eBay. So she doesn't have her own website. Are you hearing me? She doesn't have her own clothing line. What does she do? She goes and buys somebody else's clothing line and sells it on somebody else's website. Make sense? Making $2,000 a month. How? She learned what people want. She learned what they will buy. She also learned how to communicate with them and how to market that t-shirt in such a way that it causes someone to click add to cart. Okay? She's working 10 hours a week, by the way. So 40 hours a month and making $2,000 a month. And 40 hours a month. That includes shopping for the items. And she loves to shop. So here's a kid that loves to shop, loves clothes, likes to sell. Did not complicate anything. Somebody else's website, somebody else's product, bam, making money. Say what? It is a six-figure income. If she did it 40 hours a week, hello, she'd make a six-figure income. But she's a college student carrying a huge load. She's got 10 hours a week. And 10 hours a week, $2,000 a month. Okay? All right, so how do we do it? You have to expose your product. Again, find a product that is already in existence. Meaning, let's put it this way. If you want to make money fast, which after you and I just finished talking, that sounds like it might be a good idea. Okay? If you want to make money fast, you don't wait to develop a clothing line. You go start selling somebody else's clothing line now. Okay? And here's why. Sometimes what happens is that we can complicate things. really bad. And I just gave a very simple solution to needing to make money right now, right? So, for example, my another one of my goddaughters in California, she loves shopping, she loves clothes, she loves design, all that kind of stuff. She's the same thing. She actually has a consignment store and is making, are you ready for this, $90,000 a year. She works 5 hours a week. She profits $90,000 a year. She works 5 hours a week. She has three children. Three babies, actually. Yeah, three under 4 years old. How did she do it? She goes and she shops. She puts her store. Now she's trained other people. Now she has other people bringing all these clothes. She tags them. Somebody else is selling them in her store. So she's love fashion, found a really low-risk way to be in the fashion world, loving looking at clothes, buying clothes, shopping for clothes, selling clothes, found a simple way to take somebody else's product to market, okay? So, one, you need a product, okay? Mm-hmm. Two, you have to decide who are you going to sell it to? Who are you going to target? What's the kind of person that likes the kind of clothing that you want to sell? What market do you want to tap into? Is it the college age market? That could be smart. They spend foolishly, right?
We do, don't we?
You do, don't you? Yeah. So they spend foolishly, right? They're all into clothing. I'm sure that's most of who my goddaughters, and by the way, a lot of them are into thrifting also, and they like getting good deals because they barely have any money, but they still spend, right? All right, so marketing something to someone, number one, really important. Two, your list of names is who the someone is, okay? The list of names. I'll tell you another one. Since we're on the clothing thing, I had a woman who worked with us for years. She was our assistant. She had a dream of having a clothing store. And so I simply told her, this is real simple. Marla, you're really organized. So what I would begin with is offering to organize all your girlfriend's closets and helping them to purge all the junk that they haven't worn for years. So offer that you will offer for free to go in and purge and organize all of their closet. Under the stipulation that if they have not worn this item in the last 2 years, that they are agreeing to getting rid of it so they can bring a bunch of new stuff in when they want to. Then what you do is you're going to take these big bags of clothes that these women have not worn in 2 years, some of which still have tags on, and now you are going to go ahead in your house, you're going to get some racks, and you're going to put all of those clothes in your living room on all these racks. Then you're going to invite all the same girls back over. From your list of resources, you're going to invite and you're going to have some clothing parties. They're going to come over and they are going to shop for all kinds of accessories, shoes, hats, jackets, clothing, all of it. And you're going to make money and you did not spend a dime. You're not spending anything. All you did was you went, you spent some hours to offer a service to somebody cleaning out all of their junk. You take all the junk, you invite a bunch of people over, they come and shop for the junk. That's other people's money, other people's design, other people's product, and make some cash. She made so much cash so fast, she started her shop, Marla Sue's. And guess what it was? A consignment shop. Now, wait a second. So now all those same girls now brought Marla their stuff to exchange it for somebody else's stuff. Other people's money, other people's design, other people's product. Other people's efforts, because now Marla and Laura Lee are using other people's efforts. They're not even going to someone's house anymore. Now the people are coming to them to drop it off. So now she's using the effort of the customer to deliver the goods that they paid for. Business is simple. Okay? So we got the something worked out, right? And we have the someone worked out. Who's the someone? It's on the list of names. It's on your list of resources, all right? All right, so let me give you a simple foundation for business. Business needs exposure. So what is that? When the case of being a broke college student who doesn't have much money, or if any, and spent your last $500 to get to this event, you expose with your mouth. You got to talk about what you're doing. You got to post about what you're doing. You have to spread the message about what it is that you have, okay? Two, you have to connect with the people that you're exposing it to. Let me show you a simple little example. How many of you have ever watched TV? Don't raise your hands. I'm kidding. How many of you have ever seen a car commercial on the television? Okay, you've seen a car commercial, right? All right, this is a funnel. Kind of looks like an ice cream cone without the ice cream, right? Okay, so what happens is the car company has 30 seconds to tell you about the car, don't they? They have 30 seconds. But do they try to sell you the car in 30 seconds?
No.
No. They can't possibly sell you the car in 30 seconds, can they? No, they can't. But in 30 seconds, the whole point of an advertisement in 30 seconds is to get you to think about that car. Not think about buying it, just think about it. So how many have ever seen a Lexus commercial? Okay? And how many of you, then that car got lodged in your head somehow? And how many of you started thinking about that car? And then how many of you started seeing that car on the road? Right? You started seeing the car, which meant that there was other people that were advertising to you. The ones that were driving the car that you really now didn't know that you want, but now you want it. That's a funnel. So it first starts with the broadest part of the market. You're going to show to a lot of people about your business. Okay? Just to get them to think about it. Just that it logs it in. It says it's there. It's something that they'd not heard about before, something they hadn't seen before, whatever. Second, we hope through lots of exposure, okay, it takes multiple points of exposure before somebody takes the next step, okay? So this step is exposure. That's most of the people are going to be right here at the top being exposed to the idea, the product, or the service. The second one, and it takes lots of exposure, lots of times calling somebody, lots of time of being in front of them, lots of time in engaging in relationship with them. So then next, we get them to think about it. Then we get them to call about it. So this is when you're thinking, right? Okay, you're seeing the car. Then it's like, well, and in the thinking, by the way, this is the research, right? So during the research stage, this is when somebody actually goes to the web, they start doing research on the car, right? So now they're inquiring more information about it, right? They're still in this stage. So most people see it. Few, through multiple exposures, then we'll start inquiring and thinking about it. Then there is the phone call. Hey, do you have this color on your lot? Right? Do you have this make and model? Right? From the phone call, then, now we're walking on the lot. Then there is the test drive. Right? Once you get behind the wheel, there's a certain percentage of them, they're going to do what? Drive home with that car. Do you understand? This is not art class. Be nice. My son is the artist. I am not. Here, I can help a little bit. What is that? Did you laugh at me like that? I heard that. That's a car. Okay? So it starts at the top. You got to talk to a lot of people. Okay, a few will actually, if you follow up, they'll think about what you're doing. Some will actually then want to engage in something. They're going to start taking the next step of commitment. Then there's the next step of commitment, getting behind the thing, trying on the blouse is now, what is that? That's pretty committed, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that, you know, if she tries 10 things on, she might walk out with one or two. Does that make sense?
Or 10, or
all 10, exactly, depending on who it is, right? Which might be your ideal customer. You'd be looking for a clothing whore. That might be your ideal customer that has a shopaholic problem and needs a 12-step program. Okay, so you're going to expose your clothing Does it have to be your clothing? Can it be somebody else's clothing?
It can be somebody
else's. It can be somebody else's clothing, right? Okay. Now you're going to connect. You're actually going to add to this list. You're going to build this list even bigger. You want to be adding daily, weekly, monthly to your list of resources. And you're going to be doing that through some communication skills that I'm going to show you in a minute. Okay. Number three is now you're going to present, and that's where this was. They walked on the lot. They're driving the car. This is the presentation. That's the presentation. Number four is you need to ask the closing question. So, out of all 10 shirts that you tried on, which four are your favorite? Which four can you not live without? Tell me what you liked about those four blouses. Tell me more about that. How will you be utilizing those blouses? Do you see yourself wearing these blouses on your next date? Great. Welcome aboard. That's $45, please. Okay, so that's a close. All right. So you close. You don't say, so do you like the blouse? You don't say that. You say, which are your favorites? I didn't ask if you liked them or not. I said, which of these are your favorites? Which ones do you like best? Tell me more about that. That's getting your prospect to close themselves. They are telling you what they like about it. They're telling you how they're going to wear it. They're telling you where they're going to wear it. They're telling you how they feel inside of it. Versus you talking to them, you're letting them do all the talking as they are revealing the whole reason why they cannot leave without this top. Okay, number five is the follow-up. Now, the follow-up is where you start to mobilize those customers into bringing you more customers. It's through the follow-up, hey, send me a selfie of yourself at your next date in that top. Send me a selfie when you first wear that second one in class on Monday, okay? Give them specific things in their mind of where she would be with taking a selfie, and please post it on our Facebook page or on Instagram, and please tell me how you are feeling in this blouse, okay? Now she's starting to be mobilized, the customer's starting to be mobilized, utilizing your product and where they got it from. The follow-up, if you treat people correctly and you honor them, you respect them, even this is really important, following up with a thank you card. Nobody gets thank you cards anymore, but like barely anyone gets a handwritten anything anymore. So when you do it, you stand out way above the crowd, way above the crowd. Everything's electronic today, and we really don't value all that electronic stuff. Why? Because we know it was fast and easy, and it took no time. So there's no value in it. But getting a handwritten card says, oh, man, that's so sweet of her. Wow, gee, thanks. Makes sense? So if you write every single customer a thank you card, and then you set up a time where you're going to follow up with them, now you're starting to build a customer base. Amateurs don't build anything. They are just so busy getting new sales, more sales, more sales. They don't build a customer base and build an environment that flourishes referrals. So if you follow up with that customer and you're building relationship with her, now when somebody asks her where she got that shirt, it's not a, I don't know. It's a, you gotta talk to my girlfriend. Right? You want to become a deeper friend to that person, even if it was someone that you didn't know, you really want to get to know that person because now they feel more connected to you and want to talk to you about it. You just said something to me on our break that was powerful, and I'm not going to say everything, but what I will say is that, Danny, you told me to write a name down. I told 700 people to write a name down. But what did she say? Danny, you told me to write a name down. Why? Because she felt like she was the only one in the room. Why? Because I'm not here talking to a crowd of people. I'm talking to one. I'm talking to one. So you feel, and this, you said this, I feel like I know you. You are the older version of me. That's because these 5 hours we've been together, I've been building relationship with you. Okay? And I'm going to show you how to do that in just a minute. I'm going to leave it right there. Okay? These five steps, you can make a six-figure income with right here. If we have time, we'll go into the other ones where seven figures lives. But right here is where six figures lives. Six figures lives with lots of exposure. Where can we put the exposure? Where can you expose your product, your service, your idea?
Social media.
Social media. Where else can you expose it?
A college campus.
On campus. Yep, college campuses. If that fits your ideal customer, in your case, it does. Okay. Uh-huh. Flyers. Yeah, but be specific. A church. Rotary, junior leagues, wherever it is that your kids are involved in. Getting involved in community. So if you're involved in your community, you're representing your brand always. Do you understand that? You're representing your brand. Volunteering. If you do volunteer work inside of your community, you're representing your brand. Okay? If you're offering a free service of something, that is still representing your brand, who you are. You want to put yourself in front of your ideal customers. Put yourself out there. Get out of your house and put yourself in that place. Now, somebody did ask a question like, Danny, what if I'm like completely terrified to be around people? Okay, well, then you use the internet. Okay, use the internet. If that is absolutely terrifying to you, we live in a world today where everything's digital, and with your fingertips, you can be communicating with people online. Just like I told you, my goddaughter, $2,000 a month, working 10 hours a week from communicating online, right? Building community online. And you can do that. We've built community online. We have 500,000 people on just one Facebook page. Between all of our social media pages, we have close to 1 million people that gather between every page that is that we have and all those social media platforms. There's 1 million people that gather. That's a community that has come together. Okay, so you can build a community online without being face-to-face, like if that is like too intimidating to you. And the other thing I'm going to tell you is you don't use that as an excuse. The reason why you have this intimidation is some unhealed wounds inside of you, stuff from your past that you are allowing to hold you back. So while working on yourself, getting yourself some counseling, working on getting some healing, get your butt to creating a dynasty, big time. Once you're working on those things, at the same time, you can be starting stuff online. And that's a very simple thing to do. Especially with social media. It's ridiculous how simple that is to do. And I just gave you a business model like that. What my goddaughter's doing. Easy. Other people's product. Hello? Other people's website even. So she hasn't complicated a simple way to make money by building her own website. All right. So these things. Expose. We have, someone says social media. Where else can you expose? Radio, television, where else can you expose? Newspaper, say what? Community events, absolutely. Community events are huge. You will always meet great people, by the way. By the way, the greatest people of your community usually show up at community events. You'll meet a lot of high-level professionals at community events. Why? Because they understand community and they understand the power of referrals. So they have a tendency of congregating with each other. The Lions Club, Rotary, do you understand? All of those places that are all giving organizations care about the community. They care about the welfare and the success of the citizens in that community. That's where you're going to meet a lot of great people, is in any community-driven thing. Even like Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce is another great place to what? To cultivate, to expose, to meet people. But what do you do when you get there? Let's talk about the connection, all right? This is a really important thing to learn. And I don't know if I want to do it with you because I already know too much about you. Okay, I think you're awesome. But I'm going to let you sit here and watch. Okay, I need somebody who's never been here and knows nothing about the word form. You don't know? Okay, David, you just sign yourself up just like that. Just like that. Oh, you got pushed. I'm Danny.
I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave. We're going to go right over there. By the way, this is the handsome gentleman that said that his employee told him about our website and told him about the book. That shows humility. That shows absolute humility that you would take a recommendation like that and that you would read the book and that you would come is like a serious sign of humility. So I appreciate that kind of leadership that's in you.
Thank you.
Yeah. It also shows courage in your employee, which means you have a courageous employee, which means you are one really blessed man. The second thing it shows is this young man actually is invested in himself. He's actually working on himself. Is he here?
Yes, he is.
He is. Where are you?
Right there.
Right where?
Charles, put your hand up.
No. So, I know a lot about that man, and that man is a pretty amazing man who is a very humble man who is very cherished in this community.
Yeah!
To even know somebody like him is a blessing.
Oh, yeah, I told him that.
Yeah, he's a real blessing. So, awesome, Josh Charles. So here we go. You ready?
Yes.
You and I are at Walmart.
Okay.
Okay? We're at Walmart. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Once, twice?
A few times.
A few times. Okay. So let's just say that it is slammed. Slammed. See all these people? We're all at Walmart.
All of us?
All of us.
Okay.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It must be that time of day.
Yeah.
All right. So I want you to be just as natural as you would be. You're standing in line at Walmart. I'm in front of you. I have a huge cart filled with all kinds of crap. Okay? Actually, she's the checker. Okay, so where she's at is where the checkout line is. Or she could just be in line, you know, waiting for the... She's the next one being having her groceries checked out right now. So by the time we get to that table, that's where the checkout line is. Okay, so it's a long line, right? Okay, everybody pay very close attention. Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you hate rejection? How many of you don't like talking to strangers? How many of you... don't like talking to people in general? You kind of one of those guys?
Yeah.
A little. I like your voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So how many of you fear rejection and that holds you back from building something? Okay. How many of you would like to get rid of that fear? How many of you'd like to be able to communicate in such a way that rejection doesn't happen? How many of you like to like demolish the rejection equation altogether? Like, it's not in the equation. Okay, pay very close attention to what I'm about to do. I'm going to show you how to communicate in a way where rejection just naturally doesn't happen. Okay, that's why I want you to be as natural as you possibly can. Now, how? When you're making a connection with a person, and by the way, let me show you this as well. How many of you ended up at this training seminar from a personal referral? Can you look around the room, please? Look all around the room. All of these hands are up because of a personal referral. This room was filled by personal referrals. How in the world did that happen? Now watch. How many of you, the very first time you ever heard the name or saw the face of Danny Johnson, first time, was not from a personal referral? Not from a personal referral. Well, I would say that 30 hands. It's about 30 hands that heard about Danny Johnson, our website, our business, from some other source. What was the source?
Secret Millionaire.
Secret Millionaire. How many of you saw me on Secret Millionaire? Okay. So that's about half of them. About 15 hands. They saw me on Secret Millionaire, and that's how they ended up here. What's another source that you?
Facebook.
How many of you saw me on Facebook? First time you ever saw anything from us is on Facebook. So, okay. I don't know, 9. Okay. What's another source if it wasn't Facebook? You Googled a successful person. That's... Okay, well, Secret Millionaire was the exposure, right? I'm looking for the place of exposure. Okay, so who did a Google search? Okay, and so the Google search was young man in the blue? Okay, so it was a business lead store kind of thing. Okay, where else? Who else Google searched? Yes. Success seminars. Yes. Home business trainers. That's a dangerous thing to Google. That's a real dangerous thing to Google. Okay, yes. How to make money from home. Okay, so there's the Google people that Google searched all these things. We don't do a bunch of SEO. You're like, what the heck is that? Exactly. Anyway, so we have hundreds and hundreds, sorry, I have to say hundreds of thousands who've come through these training seminars all by personal referral. A very small percentage that Googled some random term and somehow it ended up with me and on that and them on our website, okay? Television, radio, print. Who? Okay, so Secret Millionaire, what about Benny Hinn? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 7 of us from Benny Hinn. TBN, here's a big one, Oprah Winfrey. Where's the Oprah Winfrey people? Oh, that's a goose egg, man. That's a goose egg. Wow, we got 7 from Benny Hinn and 0 from Oprah. What's that tell you? Oprah don't have no candle to Benny Hinn. It's true. Forbes magazine. Goose egg. That went all over the world, translated in several different languages. The number one story for about 10 days on Forbes was my story. Not bad. Shocking. Okay, so what does that tell you? Which one is the most powerful? Referral. Personal referrals. Our entire business has been built on personal referrals. I'm going to say it again. Our entire business has been built on personal referrals. Our entire business has been built on personal referrals. We get around between 65 and 70,000 opt-ins a year without doing SEO, search engine optimization. Without SEO, 65 to 70,000 referrals every single day. How many of you would like to have that? How many of you think that's a lot of referrals? Those referrals come from all over the world. How many of you'd like to get 3 a day? Okay, now listen. How in the world have we gotten to this place? It's a really simple equation. Number one, you reap what you sow. If you want referrals, you have got to become good at becoming a referrer. You want to receive referrals, you want to get good at giving referrals. Number two, you have to connect with people. The way we have connected with people is using this acronym. We get people to talk about their family. We get them to talk about their occupation. We get them to talk about what they like to do for fun, which is recreation, our sense of recreation. And then we give them a message. And the message is geared around these 4 things. Write this down. S-I-G-N. Their strengths, their interests, their goals, and their needs. These are 4 things that we are looking for when we form a rapport with a perfect stranger. Inside of this thing called magnetic influence, which is right here, this is magnetic influence. How many of you own this already? Who doesn't own this already? Okay, it's like, I don't know, 60-40. So in Magnetic Influence, we give you about 15 different strategies to build a rapport with somebody, okay? It's important to use at least one of those 15. And it's important to use one of those 15 on a daily basis. They're simple, so simple a child can use them. So let me give you a couple to start off with. Fair enough? One, smile. Smile. Why? Because smile honors people. A smile honors people, and a smile makes you approachable. Smile when you're on the phone. Smile when you're typing into Facebook. Because we all know who isn't smiling when they are typing on Facebook. Now, don't we? So true. You can see whether or not someone is smiling based on what they're posting, based on what their comments are. You can tell, right? So a smile encourages people to talk. A smile encourages people to open up. A smile encourages people to be disarmed. And how do you get people to smile? Is by smiling at them. So when you smile at them, it makes them comfortable, makes you appear to be safe. It causes a good relationship to start forming. So smile. Can a third grader do that? Yes. Number two, get people to talk about themselves. If you get people to talk about themselves, you will get to learn about who they are. Now the question is, how in the world do I get someone to talk about themselves? You just ask them these four basic categories of questions. Where are you from? Are you married? Do you have any kids? Questions like that. Ask them what they do for a living. Ask them what they like to do for fun. Sorry, three categories. These three categories has them open up about what really matters to them and what their life is about. Your job is number three, shut up and listen. That's your job, is to shut up and listen. So we have number one. Hello, number one. Hello, number one. How many of you can do that? You can all do that. Number two, get people to talk about themselves. Number three, shut up and listen. Somebody's paying attention. Okay, so number one, smile. Number two, three,
shut up and listen.
That's right. When people are talking about themselves and you are shutting up and listening, then you will be able to do number four, which is find their sign. Find their sign. What's their sign? Strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Say it with me. What's their sign? Strengths, interests, goals, and needs. That's what you're looking for in the person. In finding that sign, you can do number five. Refer them to fill their own need. Refer them to a product, a service, an idea that can help them with what their need is. Now, how in the world do you refer them to that? Sometimes it works to give them, by the way, that's actually the M in form, which is message. Sometimes it works to do it right there on the spot. Other times it makes more sense, depending on what your business model is, to collect a name and phone number, especially if we're at Walmart. If we're at Walmart, that's not the time or the place for me to present a product or a service or an idea to them. But maybe later in a more controlled environment that is appropriate for me to give a presentation for whatever my product, service, and idea is, that's if only it fits his strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Did that make sense? So number one was?
Smile.
I want you to show me what number one is. Number two is? Get people to talk about themselves. Number three is? Shut up and listen. Number four is? Find their sign. What's their sign? Strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Can a fifth grader do this?
Yes.
They are doing it, I promise you. We got all kinds of them all over the world actually practicing these things already. And some of them have started businesses and are making money. I had a 12-year-old make $30,000 her first year in business. A 12-year-old homeschool student who liked to make jewelry. Danny, I want to start a business. Well, what do you like? Let me tell you something. If you are desperate, you kind of don't have a choice in what kind of business you're going to start. Okay, you got to do what is in front of you if you're desperate. You got to do what is in front of you. If you've lost it all, do what is in front of you. Prosper where you're planted. If, however, you are not desperate and you want to be creative and you want to test something out, well, then what is your interest? What do you like? What is natural to you? She likes clothes, don't you? She's like, hello, I love clothes. Don't you see what I look like right now? Awfully cute. Okay, so when you're not in a desperate situation, you actually have the liberty to think and ponder, what do I like? What am I interested in? What am I good at? Then that's a place where you start a business. Okay, how many of you are really good at organizing? Do you know a lot of people suck at it? And they are willing to pay you money to do it for them. You are relieving a humongous problem for them. How many of you enjoy cleaning? Do you know there's other people who suck at it? And they're willing to pay you to the tune of $20 to $25 an hour to do it for them. That's a business. There's all kinds of businesses that can be started just simply from your own strengths, from your own interests, that can help you get to whatever it is that the goal you have. And or you do what I did. Okay, what was my first business? I didn't own the product. I didn't invent the product. I didn't come up with the idea. I didn't manage the employees and do any of that stuff. It was somebody else's product. It was somebody else's comp plan. It was somebody else's marketing system. It was somebody else's everything. And I made $1 million. Sucks. It's awesome. It's a great way to cut your teeth. How many of you are in that kind of a business model now? It's a great way to cut your teeth. It is a great way to start in business. And guess what? It's a great way to stay in business. It's a great way to not carry the pressure and the pain and the suffering of what some traditional businesses actually can bring. What my first businesses did is it prepared me for any kind of business for the rest of my life. I learned more in the direct sales industry about business than I did any other type of business. And I've used everything I learned in the direct sales industry to run multiple different types of businesses, both here in this country and abroad. So everything that you learn, if you're in a direct selling type of a model, everything you learn there, all the skills that are required to succeed there, will always benefit you everywhere. I learned how to become a parent through that business model. I learned how to start all kinds of businesses from that business model. I learned how, to succeed in my marriage from the basic skills that I had to develop in the direct sales industry. And everything you have to develop in direct sales, you have to develop in every business. There's not a business on the planet that doesn't have to know how to raise capital or find capital, right? A direct seller, they've got to have some kind of skin in the game. They got to buy some inventory. They got to have some kind of a buy-in. Right? And if they don't have the money, they got to find someone else to lend the money to them. That's what she has to do. Okay? Number two, I had to learn how to market. I had to learn how to get a product, how to expose it out there. I had to learn how to talk to people. I had to learn to present in front of an audience. I had to learn to target an audience. I had to learn how to get large numbers of referrals and build a business all based on referrals. I still do that today. Learn how to tap into large centers of influence, which we just talked about that, tapping into community places, right? Find out where your ideal customer is. Go hang out where they're hanging out. I learned how to motivate a team of individuals that were committed to a mission. I learned how to prospect, present, and close deals. I learned how to follow up and mobilize clients and sales reps. I had to learn to figure out freaking taxes after being in back taxes twice and owing $1 million twice. That was so much fun. which meant I had to learn something about accounting now, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Throwing everything in a shoebox wasn't going to work forever. Anyway, number 10, I learned how to build a top-notch, highly effective, top-producing, record-breaking team. In the direct sales industry. That's what I learned how to do. Who shattered records. And number 11, I learned how to help other people to succeed. Every business has to know those skills. Every business. There isn't a business on the planet that doesn't do all of those things. I don't care what the model is, scrubbing toilets or not. Depending on how big you want to build it, That determines what of those skills that you decide to learn. All right, so number one was?
Smile.
Number two was? Number three was?
Shut up and listen.
Number four was? Number five was? Refer them to whatever is going to fill their need, right? Good job. I cheated. I heard her. Okay, which is awesome. All right, so we're going to go right now to Walmart, and I'm going to demonstrate how to make a connection with the perfect stranger, okay? Now, what is this? I'm having the opportunity to expand my brand. I'm having the opportunity to expose where I'm from and what I do, but I'm going to do this very, very strategically. Because remember what I said, that it's not always smart and it's not always the right setting to present my product or my service. If I'm a real estate agent, if I sell insurance, or if I sell cosmetics or travel services, really doesn't matter. It's about the appropriate time and place to be able to present something to somebody. So in a lot of cases, it's better to have a one-on-one presentation or invite someone to a presentation, depending on what it is that you have, to set the appointment or at least to get the phone number. So you have to understand what stage of the process that you're in. So in this case, if I'm at Walmart, right now I'm in stage one of exposure. So what I'm looking for is a whole lot of people to talk to up here at the top of the funnel. Are you listening to me? At the top of the funnel, I'm looking to expose to a lot of people up here. This Walmart exchange is not here. Did you hear what I just said? This Walmart exchange of meeting this person for the very first time is not time to test drive. Did you hear me? That's called premature, you fill in the blank. Do you understand? So you got to know where you are in the process. Every person is in some part of your funnel. In this case, he's at the top, which means he is a suspect and not a prospect. So I have my ideal customer who I'm looking for. So it's either he is it or he knows someone who is. So what I'm looking for is maybe not him, but I'm looking for who? Who am I looking for? His list of contacts. I'm looking to build a relationship with him because inside of him is how many people? 2,000 people I do not know. That's who's inside of him. 2,000 people I do not know. All right? So the more I add to my list, the more I expand my market, the more I expand the exposure I have to more people. All right? So that's how we've built every business we've ever had, is on personal referral. And it starts right here at Walmart. Okay? All right. So we're at Walmart.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
Yeah, it's swamped.
It is. Do you normally shop here?
Once or twice a week.
Wow. Is it normally at this time?
I tried to come this time, yeah.
You try to come when everybody's here?
It's not normally like this when I come.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's good to know. So this is normally a good time.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Danny.
I'm Dave.
Dave, very nice to meet you. Wes, so do you live around here?
Yes, around the corner.
Oh, well, that's convenient, isn't it? That's great. How long have you lived in the area?
About 6 years.
What do you like about living in this area?
It's quiet.
Really? Except at Walmart today.
Yeah.
Right, that makes sense. Wow, so you like it quiet. That's great. Now, where did you live prior to being here?
Kansas.
Kansas? That's a big move. What did you like about Kansas?
It was quiet.
It was quiet. What part of Kansas were you living in?
Kansas City.
Kansas City is not quiet. On the outskirts, maybe, of Kansas City.
That's where it was.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you do here?
I'm a carpenter.
You are? Yes. How long have you been a carpenter?
30 years.
That's a really long time. Wow. Now, what part of carpentry do you like most?
Framing.
Tell me why. Oh, the line's moving. This is awesome.
I like taking nothing and turning it into something.
Do you? That's amazing. So what is, like, your most favorite structure that you've ever built?
I did an addition for a pastor.
Really? So was it for his house?
It was for his house, 17 feet by 30 feet.
Why was that your favorite project?
Because he had a tore up backyard, mm-hmm. and he wanted to make a man cave.
So pastors want man caves too. That's pretty amazing. That's amazing. Did you like the guy?
Didn't know him.
Didn't know him. So you just like the idea of a man cave?
All men do.
So did you feel like you were building your own dream or something there?
Yes.
That's really awesome. That's really, really awesome. Okay, so 30 years in carpentry. So you were fairly young when you got started.
18.
That's great. So what do you not like about carpentry?
Can't work when the weather's bad.
How often is it bad?
Depends on the time of the year.
Yeah. So what do you do when the weather's bad?
Sit at home and wish it wasn't raining.
That's not fun.
No.
That's not fun at all. Now, are you married?
Yes.
Does your wife like it when you're sitting at home wishing it wasn't raining?
No.
How long have you been married?
17 years.
Wow, congratulations. Do you guys have kids?
Yes, 14-year-old daughter.
14-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Man, that's amazing. Now, what does your wife do?
She works in healthcare.
What specific?
She's a CSR, customer service rep, and a medical assistant.
Nice. Does she enjoy that?
Yes.
That's great. How'd you guys meet?
I knew her in school, but I wouldn't talk to her.
Uh-huh.
And then later on in life, I met her again, and I said something to her, and now she's stuck.
For a minute, I thought you were going to say you sawed off your right finger and ended up at the hospital and she was working there. So I'm glad that it was a different way. That's really good. Yeah, so you have a 14-year-old daughter. What grade is she in?
Ninth grade.
What was her name?
Nevaeh.
Oh, that's a beautiful name. Heaven backwards.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good for you. So, you know, do you have plans of what you will do when it rains so that you're not sitting at home wishing it wasn't raining?
Find a job that I can work where it's raining.
Really? What have you thought about doing?
That's a good question.
You don't know yet?
No.
So what do you guys like to do for fun around here? You've been here for 6 years. What's some good recreational things to do?
We ride our bikes on the bike path.
Oh, you do? Yeah. All three of you?
Just me and my daughter. My wife won't do it.
Oh. But that's really sweet that you have that time with your daughter.
Sometimes.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
She likes to stop too much.
Oh, she does? Why does she stop?
Because she's lazy.
Oh. That's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. What else do you guys like to do for fun?
I like to read, and we try to have bowling night. But they don't like bowling with me.
Why don't they like bowling with you?
Because I like to win.
Yeah. I can see that. So you like to win, and they don't like to bowl with you. That's funny. So what else do you guys like to do?
Sit at home.
Sit at home. That's really good. Well, Dave, it was really nice talking to you.
You too.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't help but notice that you were saying that although you love carpentry and your most favorite thing you ever built was a 17 by 32 man cave for a pastor.
Yes.
That's really awesome. Have you built your man cave yet?
No, I just reformed the basement.
That's awesome. I couldn't help but notice that you're saying even though, you know, you love your career and you love being able to start something and build something from nothing and turn it into something, but the downside of your career is that it's seasonal and that you would be looking for other work so that is more consistent and that you're not sitting at home wishing it was raining. And I love that you're saying you love to go bike riding with your daughter. And, hey, what's your score for bowling?
My highest score was 210.
Nice. That's awesome. So it sounds like you're pretty good at bowling.
Just that day.
That's awesome. You might be completely satisfied with their carpentry, and you know, you probably see yourself doing that until you're 90. But you might know somebody else that is actually looking for a way to enhance their finances, and somebody that's really looking for something that's solid and consistent. And I also might know some people that might need a carpenter. So I'm wondering what would be a good time where we can exchange each other's phone number. I can get you some information about what our company actually has to offer, and you can pass it on to someone else who's not in such a luxurious place of being a carpenter who actually has work when the weather is good. But you might know someone else that, you know, with the economy today, not everybody is in as good of standing as you are, especially with you and your wife being able to work and to do everything that you guys are doing, especially enjoying family time with kicking the snot out of your wife and kid bullying and, of course, that bicycle thing. So anyway, when can I get you some information about what our company has to offer? And you can pass it on to someone else, and I want your information just in case I'm in need of a contractor or I might know a few other people that are looking for somebody for remodels or new housing or whatever it is that you do.
Well, let me pay for these socks, and then we can exchange numbers.
You don't have to pay for my socks, but what's a good phone number for you, David?
123.
123.
4567.
4567-8.
910.
910. Thank you. All right, that's perfect. That's awesome. When's a good time for me to contact you?
Usually in the evening.
Okay, about what time?
After 5.
After 5 o'clock, you're good. I mean, what time does your wife have dinner ready?
I have dinner ready about 6.
You cook too?
Yes.
That's amazing. What kind of stuff do you like to cook?
Anything.
Really? Not, you don't have a specialty of one particular thing?
Oh, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and corn.
I think I'd be 400 pounds if I had to eat your cooking all the time. Man, that's really awesome. All right, cool. So I'm going to make sure and call you before or after dinner. So between 5. No, you're cooking at 5.
Yeah, so let's make it after 6.
Okay, so let's say 7 o'clock.
Sounds good.
I'm going to go, I'll check my calendar in the car, and I'll go ahead and give you a call and get you that information. And again, it may or may not at all apply to you. You might know somebody that is looking for a consistent throughout the year, not attached to the weather kind of an income, and I am going to see who I might know that could use your construction services.
Sounds good.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you, David.
You too.
Cool. All right. So, David, I have some questions for you. Okay. Am I married?
I have no idea.
All right. Do I have any kids?
I have no idea.
Do I live here?
I guess.
What do I do?
I guess you sell stuff.
What do I sell?
I have no idea.
What's the name of my company?
You never told me.
What do I do for fun?
I don't know. What do you do for fun?
So you don't know anything about me, but you gave me your phone number.
Yes.
You don't know what company, what product, what service, where I'm from, if I'm married, if I have kids. You also don't know that my granddaughter's middle name is Nevaeh. It is. That's how I knew it spelled heaven backwards. That's how I knew it. Kaylee Nevaeh. But you don't know that I have a granddaughter named Kaylee Nevaeh now, do you?
You seem nice enough.
I seem nice enough. So why did you give me your phone number?
Well, first of all, you smiled at me, and we started talking.
It's over. Okay. All right. So I just demonstrated, number one. Smile. Number two? Get people to talk about himself. Number three? I shut up and listen. And number four? Find their signs, strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Okay? Next one? Refer them to fill their own need. I just demonstrated all those five things that I just gave you. Okay? Now I'm going to show you how to screw it up back in the line. Wow, can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
It's not normally like this.
It's not?
No.
Hi, I'm Danny.
I'm Dave.
Dave, you seem like the really kind of smart guy, really sharp dress and everything. Would you be interested in taking a look at my travel services? I'm a part of this travel organization, and we have discounted travel. I think you would really, really love it. I'm sure you probably want to go to Barbados one day, and you probably want to go to New York, and you probably want to go to Israel and Bora Bora and Thailand. I'm sure there's lots of really exciting places you like to go, and we have these great travel packages that you can utilize to get it for a very, very discounted, and in some cases, even free. We even have these cruises. We have 2-for-1 cruises. The cruises are amazing. Have you been on a cruise? I'm sure you would like a cruise. Anyway, so would you be interested? Would you like to come down and take out a look at our opportunity and see? Here, hold on a second. I have a brochure. Here's a brochure. The brochure right here. Right here. See, right here. This brochure tells you all about it, and you can refer other people and actually earn your travel for free. So would you like to come down and take a look at how you can get all your travel for free and you can travel all over the world like tomorrow?
I'm just trying to buy this loaf of bread.
I'm sure you are. Hey, also, I'm a realtor. I'm a realtor. See, you've probably seen my face. Here's my card. Here, if you ever know anyone that wants to buy a house or if you need to sell a house, you want to sell a house, you want to buy a house, you might want to buy 10 houses. I am definitely the person for the job. I'm sure that you could utilize my services as many other people have, and I'm sure that you really enjoy it. Would you be interested in buying a house? Would you like to use me for your real estate needs?
No.
Rejected again. I sell vitamins too. Now, you know, as we get older, we have to take better care of ourselves. So do you want to sleep better, look younger, and live longer? Would you like to be more virile for your life and have more energy? This cures cancer, grows hair on your head, and helps you to have more muscles too. Would you be interested in looking at my vitamins to help your life feel better, look younger, and live longer?
Nah, I'm good.
Rejected again.
The line's moving.
Thank you. How many of you have ever had a phone call like that or someone approach you like that in person? Here's my next question. Think hard. How many of you have used that approach with other people? How well did it work? It doesn't work. Now let's analyze why. Dave, why would you not give me your phone number?
One, you were pushy. And you were too close.
What else?
And you were just rambling on and on and on.
But don't you want to travel?
Eventually.
I mean, don't you want to live younger, live longer, look younger, and feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah. But why won't you take it from me?
Honestly, you were annoying.
You're right, I was. What was the most annoying thing about what I was doing with you?
You just didn't stop. You just kept going.
But why did you give me the phone number the first time?
The first time you...
Because guess what? I'm a realtor. I have these travel packages, and I sell vitamins.
You didn't push anything on me.
How do you catch a fish? With bait. What kind of bait? The bait the fish wants, not the bait you like. This example, I led with the bait I liked. And I assumed that he was like me. How much do I know about him? Absolutely nothing. I know nothing. Why? Because I don't care. That's why. At the end of the day, I just want to make a sale. And if I don't talk to somebody, I won't make a sale. And I could care less who I get the sale from. That is an amateur. But a professional understands to bait the hook with what the fish likes. You can't know what the fish likes until you do some research. Once you do some research, then you understand what to put on the edge of your hook. Once you cast that line, come on, cast it with me. Once you cast that line, then what do? You reel it in real slow. You feel a little nibble, and what do? You jerk it back. You take it away. You keep reeling it in very slowly. You get a little nibble. You take it away. I gave him no information about myself whatsoever. There were so many places where I could have interjected. Right now, my husband and I are building a brand new house. My husband has built a house that is his man cave. I could have talked about that. I could have interjected. I could have interrupted. I could, on so many different points, I could have told him that my husband's grandfather bowled 300s, had trophies all in the house, bowled for years, had his ring, 300, perfect score as a bowler in his 70s. He didn't start bowling until he was in his 60s. Isn't that crazy? Now, I could have interjected on so many different points when he said Kansas City. My son used to live there. Nevaeh, 14-year-old native. My granddaughter's middle name is Nevaeh. The food. I could have went off on the food. There's so many points where we had common ground where I could have interrupted and lost control of the conversation and started talking about myself. And that's what the amateurs do. An amateur loses the sale because the only reason why they're talking to someone is so they can find common ground to talk about themselves. That doesn't make you any money. That doesn't raise your value with any customer. That doesn't raise your value with your spouse. That doesn't raise your value with your kids. That doesn't raise your value with your coworkers. Getting them to talk about themselves and keeping the focus on them causes them to think higher of you. Got it? So he thought high enough of me, even though he knew nothing about me. Because why? I showed an interest in who? Him and what he was interested in. What showed that I was interested in what he was interested in? Say what? Asking questions, smiling, listening. What else? What was number five? I referred. How? I said, I'm going to see who I might know who may need your services. So these are five simple ways to show an interest in someone else. You reap what you sow. If you show yourself to be genuinely interested in others, then others will be genuinely interested in you. Okay, but it's not one for one. You reap what you sow. What is that? Tenfold, 30-fold, 100-fold. Man, sometimes I think I have reaped 1,000-fold. Because there's no way, I haven't talked to 100,000 people, but millions have come to our site. Do you understand? Millions have listened to the show, have either read our emails, have read our books, do you understand? Have listened to our materials, have participated in our training courses. Millions of people have all done something inside of what it is that we have to offer. Why? Because you reap what you sow. So I refer, I get genuinely interested in others. Others can feel that genuine interest, and therefore what? They are attracted to whoever is genuinely interested in them. They reject who is not interested in them or who they feel is not interested. Okay, so what were the five things again? So simple. One. Smile. Two. Get them to talk about themselves. That honors another person. Smiling honors another person. I hope that if nothing else, you leave here. Mothers and fathers, you go home and you smile at your children. Because most of them think you're mad all the time because they don't see a smile on your face. My husband has personally told me that the thing that he values the most is seeing me with a smile on my face the minute he walks in the door. Now, yes, the beautiful home-cooked meal that he gets every single night aids in how he feels. And so does everything else that I do. But I can tell you it all gets trashed if I have a frown. If I'm frowning and he walks in, he's like, oh, crap, this is going to be a good night. How many of you guys can identify with what I just said? Based on what's on her face determines how you feel walking in the door and whether or not you want to turn around and freaking leave. Seriously, like, I'm out of here, man. I'm going to go bowling with the guys. I'm going to go shoot some pool. You actually think they really want to be there? No, they really don't want to be shooting pool with the guys. They want to be loving with their wives. But but she's a nag and she's frowning and she's not taking care of herself. She's unhappy. Everything's a sales presentation. Everything boils down to honor. So if you honor the people that are in your household, if nothing else, go home and smile. Go home and smile. Go home and smile. Go home and smile. But I don't feel like smiling, Danny. Okay, well, great. Then you are a victim of circumstance. And victims are not victors. And you are putting yourself in a place to be manipulated. You're asking for outside circumstances to determine how you feel. Your outside circumstances have nothing to do with how you feel. You have everything to do with how you feel. I've tested this out myself. How many have ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed? I have many times. When you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, man, you could just have a bad stinking day. Well, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed at one point. I've done it many times, but I'm just talking about this one point. I thought, okay. And I happened to press play that day on one of our training materials, and it was talking about this one thing right here, which was number one, smile. It was talking about smile. And I'm like, I don't feel like it right now. I didn't sleep last night. My back is hurting. The kids are screaming. The dog pooped on the floor. And I hear this broad screaming. Her name is Danny Johnson. She's screaming, smile! So I decide, the dog pooped on the floor, the kids are screaming, okay? So I decide to smile. And I made it a point to just practice that one thing that I have done in the past, that I forgot in the moment, that when I press play, it reminded me to do it. It changed my entire day. It changed my entire day. I got super productive after 3 hours of whining and crying and seeing everything that was wrong. When I finally pressed play and I heard that message, I'm like, all right. And I decided to lead the rest of the day with a smile. I got productive. I closed deals. I made things happen. I got things done. Why? A smile does the same thing as a drug does. It's proven. It releases endorphins. A smile does the same thing as working out and lifting weights does. It does the same exact thing as sex does. In fact, it leads to it. It does. It does. So, gentlemen, I just gave you a tip. You want more? Ladies, how does it feel when your husband is smiling at you? Ladies, how does it feel when your husband is smiling at you? Oh, did you hear that? Those were cat calls. You know what a cat call leads to, right? There ain't nothing like, Hans looking at me and smiling. Oh my gosh. You know what a cat call leads to, right? I hope I don't have to spell it out. There's children in the room. She knows all about it. Smile. Your son, your daughter. Yes. Okay. Sorry, love. I know you're still here. Okay. So listen carefully. Smile. Number two. That honors people, that shows interest in people. You will reap what you sow. So who should you do these five things with? Don't say everybody everywhere. You've heard that before. Who? Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. So who should you? What were the five things again? Oops. Dave, would you do me the honors and erase part? Just erase that over there. Okay, so number one is smile, right? Okay, number two is get them to talk. You're like, why are you saying this again? Go ahead and erase this one too. Okay, which means form them. Okay, remember I told you there's 15 strategies inside of magnetic influence. How many of you, those five strategies I just shared with you are as simple as that a third grader can do it? Right? Number three? Shut up. And listen. You're right. Kaylee, that's my niece, by the way, who keeps talking to me. Okay? So shut up. You can shut up and not listen. Right? But shut up and what? Listen. And you're listening for what? Their sign. Okay? And then number five, refer. Help to solve the problem. Help to solve the problem. There's not two R's on refer. Anyway, Who should we do these five things to that a third grader can do, that third graders are doing? Someone says more markets. Someone says strangers. Someone says everyone, everywhere. Okay, well, let's start first and foremost. Who's the first person you should be doing these five things with? Spouse. Who's the second person? Your kids. Daddy. Go home. You do these things, it changes everything. The next bike ride with your daughter, you smile at her. You get her to talk about what is going on in her world. Get her to talk about what she's struggling with, what she's afraid of, what she's looking forward to. And you shut up and listen and don't try to solve the problem. But Daddy, you find out, man, what are my daughter's strengths? What are her interests? What are her goals? What are her needs? And you help to direct her to where she can get those things. That's leadership. That's honor. And that'll be a daughter that doesn't end up pregnant at 15 because she has no relationship with her father. Right? Your wife. You want to get laid more. The answer is yes. In fact, it's hell yes. You both will lose weight. You both will feel like you're 20 again. You both will be the envy of all of your friends. Smile. Get her to talk. Shut up and listen. Don't solve her problem. Find her sign. Because you know what? Inside of women, these things change a lot. Today we are interested in some new recipe. Tomorrow we don't ever want to cook again so long as we live. This is forever changing in your wives. What's the referral? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? That's the so good crowd over there. Thanks, handsome. So first, your spouse. Second, your kids. Third, who should we be doing this to? Who? How about your mom and dad? You know what's hard? You haven't yet had to experience this yet, but one day your little girl is going to be in a beautiful dress. And you're going to hand her off to some teenage boy. Yeah. You're going to hand her off to the younger version of you. With no wisdom, no experience, no skill. And you're going to take her hand and you're going to put it inside of his hand and trust that he is going to take care of her. That day's coming. That day's coming. And you're going to feel displaced and forgotten. The same thing you did to your mom and dad. It's a hard thing. Your kids grow up and they go. It's really painful.
Yeah.
It's really painful. Yeah. We all left home, didn't we? How much do we thank our parents? Even if you grew up in homes like I did. My mom still put up with me crapping my pants for the first 2.5 years of my life. She still put up with my whining and crying, and so did my stepdad. Even in all of their brokenness and messed up way of living, they did their best with what they knew. They both came from really bad backgrounds, and they were simply just repeating the past. They provided a bed for me. They encouraged me to go to school. My dad tried to push me to go to college because he believed in me. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it until just recently, where I had that thought come into my head, like, wow, he picked apart every bad grade and he pushed me so hard because he believed in me. And I left home at 16, gave him the middle finger, and I was out. And fortunately, through training like this and through accountability and humbling myself, I did go back and say thank you and I'm sorry. So sorry for how I treated you as a teenager. So sorry that I wasn't grateful for everything that you did for me. Think about your parents, that some of them, like me, all I ever wanted was to be a mom. That's it. That's all I ever wanted to be. And then they grow up. And my kids have become amazing adults, learning how to be adults, learning their own way, making their own mistakes, flopping and failing and succeeding all at the same time. But when was the last time you did any one of these things to your parents? Who else should be on the list? Because they are all in your list of resources, by the way. Your siblings. Your siblings all have jobs doing something, right? And some of them might even have a business that could use some referrals. Have you ever referred your sibling's business? Have you? Have you ever tried to help them in any way that you can? Not by giving them advice, but sending them a customer. That's what they need, isn't it? Or are you saying, well, I had to do it on my own. They're going to have to do it on their own too. Get your ego out of the way. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Have you spent any time getting to know what their business actually is? Have you spent any time trying to learn about what their interests are? Who's next? Yeah, friends. Hello. Who's putting food on the table every day? Who's providing work for you? Your boss. And do you know who gets the worst treatment? The boss. The boss gets the worst treatment. Do you know who the two people here are on this list that are ignored more than anybody? The spouse and the boss. The spouse and the boss. The two that have more influence on your future than anyone on the list are the two that get ignored more than anyone. So the boss. When was the last time you did these five things, any one of these five things? Just think about what happens with that. Smile. Do you know they get frowns all day long? They do. They have to constantly solve problems. Nobody really cares about anything to do with their life. People certainly don't shut up and listen to them. Does anyone know what their strengths, interests, goals, and needs are? No, everyone's just trying to make sure that they can tackle their boss. Move above their boss. Prove that they're better than their boss. And instead of this, the refer, how can I help? Is there anything I could do better? Show me what I can do to help your job get easier. Show me how I can relieve you. Show me how I could add more value to this working relationship. Versus you trying to guess how to please the boss, do this. And in doing this, you will come up with a list when it comes down to here of help them. Help them. How? Ask them, how can I help you? How can I do better for you? How can I relieve you? Will you show me how I can take on more responsibility so that you don't have to carry the full load? And by the way, thank you so much. You have provided work for me, and I've taken that for granted. The boss. Co-workers. Who else? Clients. Neighbors. Nothing becomes... Hello? You know what that says. We're going to keep it right there. My high school dropout just came out right there. That says neighbors. Short for neighbors, right there. Number 10. Okay, so we have the spouse, the kids, mom and dad, siblings, friends, boss, coworkers, clients, neighbors. Yeah. Your pastor. Okay. People in your community. It's the community. Yeah, exactly. The servers at the restaurants that you're eating at, that you might not eat at as much when I'm done with you tomorrow. Okay? The people in your community. The flight attendants. Do you understand? Everyone that you do business with. What about this? The people in your community, maybe even who your competitors are. Other businesses that you share the same customer. You go take this to that, and it builds a dynasty. I've done this for 29 years. I've done this. Now, certainly in the beginning, I fumbled and flopped around and did terrible at it. In the beginning, all I cared about was getting his phone number so I could sell him a $5,000 package. In the beginning, I only smiled at those that I thought had the money to buy my $5,000 package. In the beginning, my motives were all wrong, but my method was right. And through time and training and development and through working harder on myself, these things then came to a place of purity, came to a place of, I'm smiling at you because I care about you. And I know that you have a past. And I know that you've failed. And I know that you've struggled. And I want to be a part of your life to help you get past where you're at. I'm now one that believes in people where I was one who hated people. Yeah. I screwed this up where I did all the talking. In the beginning, my first 6 months of my first business, I just yacked. And everyone said, no, I can't afford it. I don't have the money. I need to talk to my spouse. Call me in 2 weeks. But as soon as I learned how to shut up and listen, and when I found their sign, then I wrapped my entire presentation around their sign, just as I did with him and getting that phone number. You might know somebody that doesn't have the luxury of being able to work and someone that's actually looking for full-time, year-round work versus seasonal work. Is that not filling his need? Yes, it is. When I got super good at that, I started making a six-figure income. When I started to get super good at this, which was don't try to make everyone fit into my ideal customer. Yeah. Instead of trying to force everybody, because I got really, really good at this right here. Really, really good at closing. Which meant that if you're breathing, 10 people are breathing, 9 are going to give me $4,000 to $5,000. Oh my gosh. Yeah, 9 out of 10 are going to give me $4,000 to $5,000 to start with. They're going to give me thousands more moving forward. But it's when I move to this place of the motive of what really is going to help this person. Man, that's when I actually had a business that was sustained and that was built to last. Why? Because I wasn't looking just for my own personal benefit. Now I was building community. Now I was building a place where people could come and help each other. Now I became a resource, a trusted advisor, a trusted resource because of referring people to another person, to another person, to another person. Now I had all those people talking about me, talking about how I affected their life because of the connection that I helped them make from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. So, you want people referring you? Don't be in it for yourself. Don't be in it for yourself. Be in it for the greater gain of those that are around you. Be in it for the greater gain of those around you because then everyone wins, not just you. Like I said in the beginning, I failed at all of these things. It took me a real long time to get there. Why? I had some major crap in my heart. I still have some major crap in my heart. But I promise you this, you start to practice these things, even if you suck at it, you're going to start to get referrals. You're going to start to build a business. You're going to start closing deals. You put more focus on other people and work harder on yourself? You do this towards those groups of people? What are you sitting in right now, friend? What are you sitting in right now? Chairs? No. You are sitting in the proof that those five things work. You're living proof right here. Look at the person next to you. How did they get here? Same way. Those five things. I built an organization of people who do those five things, which has made millions, tens of millions of dollars. How does a broke, homeless, whore, druggy cocktail waitress make tens of millions of dollars? How? The same simple steps that a fifth grader can use. That's how. Can you apply those five things to everything you're doing? Yes, you can. Then guess what? My next question is, will you? Will you apply those five simple things? You apply those five simple things, and you decide to take it even further, past just the following up. And by the way, when you follow up, what do? Those five things. You do those five things. What happens? Your reputation grows beyond your ability to promote yourself. Did you hear me? Your personal reputation grows way beyond. I can leave my house every day and say, "Hi, I'm Danny Johnson." How many times? But do you know how many times a day and from how many places people are saying the name Danny Johnson? Did you hear what I said? I don't even know. But it's something to the tune to bring in 60 to 70,000 opt-ins every year. Did you hear me? Enough to make that amount of people going to a website. That doesn't count how many people go to YouTube every day. We have 1 million minutes watched on YouTube monthly. At our best, for months and months and months, 1 million minutes watched monthly. We've had 1 million people amassed to social media, not knowing what the heck we're doing, but focusing on one simple thing, that right there. That's this, magnetic influence. There's 15 strategies. Those are five of them. There's 10 more that you can use. They are just as simple as those. They're just as commonsensical as those. That's what's in here. Give these two a hand as they get back to their seats.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, young lady. Come here. Come here. Give me that back. Magnetic influence, profit skills. This is going to show you how to close those deals. It's going to show you how to build that business. I scratched the surface here. This is the rest of the story.
Thank you.
This is conditioning for success. It's expounded on getting on the inner, deeper things that got to get moved out of the way so you can do these things. So you can do all of these things at the same time, okay? This is unlimited success. I know you will not disappoint me. I know you won't. I am looking at a 19-year-old girl who grew up the way I did. Look at me. I once was you. But you actually were smarter than me. You didn't use your past to keep you away from college. And you're going after the same exact thing that I wished I had. She's going to fight for kids and fight for justice. So I'm looking met me 30 years ago, you are looking at your future. Do you hear me? You are looking at your future. And this right here, all of the knowledge, all of the training, all of the skill development that's inside of this package is how I got here. So you study that. You apply it. And you go kill it. Yeah. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. Not an accident that a 19-year-old was on this stage and that we had that break and I got the chance to hear her background. It's not an accident. So I say to you, will you do what you said you would do? You said you were willing to learn. At the beginning of this session, 2.5 hours ago, I promised you that I was going to show you 3 ways to increase your income. Did I show you the 3 ways to increase your income? Do those 3 ways apply to your life and what you do? Yes, they do. Not only did I show you 3 ways, but I also gave you a 4th one. I gave you a bonus of 4. Remember, 1, it was about people skills, right? Money comes from people. Increase your people skills, you increase your income, and I showed you how to. Did I not show you how to increase your people skills with everything I just showed you up here? So I not only told you what to do, I showed you how to do it. 2, I said increase your value, increase your skill set. Find the places where value can be brought. I showed you a number of different places, and we talked about 1, helping the current business that you are already involved in. How? Your husband has the full-time job, or the wife has the full-time job, or you're a business owner. I showed you step by step how to increase the sales of that business. 3 was what? Increase your profits. And one of the first things with increasing the profits is doing what? Decreasing your expenses. Decreasing expenses. 4 was start a business. If you're that person you've always dreamt about starting a business, and start a business. I also gave you the strategy that I had to learn, and that was I knew I was a good employee, and I had to think like, okay, I need to be a good employee first before I'm ever going to become a good business owner. And that's what trained me. So not only did I give you the bonus of 4 about how to start a business, did I lay out clearly before a 19-year-old on how to start a business. Made a very complicated thing, very simple down to the basic foundation, and showed step by step how to do it. Not only how to do it, not only how to start it, the simplest way even to find a product, you don't have to create the product. How many of you got more than what I promised at the beginning of the session? Then you have to know that everything that we do is we are going to over-deliver and under-promise. The other thing is you made a commitment to me that if I'm willing to show you, you said you would do whatever it takes to do it, to make it happen, to follow directions. I want to see the show of hands that you made that commitment. Well, then how do we know that you actually will do it? It's based on your results. And that's what I'm going to end with 5. You become a results-producing human being. Quit talking, quit promising, and start producing results. I just led by that example. I didn't just talk about what I was going to teach you. I not only told you what I was going to teach you, I not only taught you it, but then I showed you with a demonstration, 2 demonstrations up here, about seriously how to actually get it done. There will be people in here that will go home and start businesses. as a direct result of everything that was just laid out right here. We just scratched the surface, friends. But here's the bottom line. Results. What will you produce with what I just volunteered my time to give you? What will you produce on this next break? Who are you going to go out and form? Who are you going to now interview to find their sign? Who are you going to refer business to? Who are you going to call? Your wife, your kids, your mom, your dad. What phone calls are you going to make on your dinner break saying, I'm sorry? Please forgive me because I haven't been listening, nor have I been interested. What result will you produce out of this? And for the very few of you, you saw what was demonstrated, and you saw what the 19-year-old got in her hands. She now possesses training materials you don't have. You also heard training materials from Job Domination. Justin Edge, when he came up here and he shared his story, getting promoted again and again with Job Domination. We talked about the importance of how employees build those businesses. I've watched employees go from a cubicle to being a vice president of a company, from $35,000 a year to $500,000 a year in 5 years, using Job Domination, using those skills. And as I said, most of you are here because you want to learn how to be business owners. Great. Job Domination shows you exactly how to become an awesome business owner. How? By being first the greatest employee that ever walked on that property of that business. You be that, your business will succeed. You start thinking like the things that we teach about in Job Domination, you will start succeeding greatly. You're going to get promoted very, 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 very quickly. Why? You'll be the number one person recommended for what you do. Chris Tilley had a question in here. How do I become a director of my company? Do you know what a director of your company does? I'll tell you, all of those things right there. What does the director of that company do? He has to practice all those things, has to humble himself, has to ask for forgiveness when they screw up, have to increase their skill set, have to admit to their mistakes, has to find where their weaknesses are so they can solve those things and hire the right people, not putting up with lesser talent, but better talent. We gave you this whole first day of experience, not something I read in a book. There was nothing that I taught today that I read from some other human being's book and then said, you go figure it out. No, everything I taught today was from personal experience. Now, I did learn it from a place. Oh, absolutely did I learn it from a place. And some of you know where that place was. And it wasn't a physical place. And it definitely came from a book. All day long, I've been training from the Bible. The best success book ever written. Time-tested. Principles that do not fail. From first thing this morning when I stepped on the stage to this moment that I'm about to leave. All of it came from the greatest success book ever written. It is proven and it works. And it's going to work in your life. So I encourage you, get a hold of the tools. Could you imagine if David showed up to work with only one hammer and a handful of nails? Can you tell me how far is he going to get? A contractor like Mr. Zushnitz, a very successful contractor. Charles has been in the contracting business for how long? Building houses for how long? 10, 15 years. So as a contractor, if he doesn't have all the tools that are necessary, will he get the job done? No. If he doesn't have something to cut, even if he doesn't have that flat pencil, his work will be stunted. Prepare yourself with the tools that are necessary in order to succeed. And if you believe you will succeed, there are no tools that you will not buy. If you know and you believe, and by the way, what you believe, your actions will follow. Your actions follow your belief. There's no excuses for someone who believes. There's none. So make sure you've got the appropriate tools to build whatever it is that you are desiring to build. Did you get something out of today that you can use? And that goes to show you that tomorrow, we've got another whole full day. Tonight, we're actually doing a bonus session. We're actually going to open up the best success book ever written, the book where I've learned finance, the book where I've learned about family, the book where I learned how to raise my kids, the book where I've learned about health and taking better care of myself, the book where I learned how to motivate people, the book where I learned how to lead people. That exact book, I'm going to be opening it tonight right in front of you. Scary. I'm not scared. So tonight we're going to open that book. We're going to start at 7 o'clock sharp. You have an hour and a half break for dinner. Come back. Tonight is a totally different experience, and there will be guests in the room, people that are not here for today, but people who are traveling in, coming just to see tonight. It's called Spiritual Equipping for Your Personal and Professional Life. If you want to succeed, I challenge you to be here. Even if you serve a different God than I do, which you probably don't even know what God I serve. But the reality is, when your spiritual life is a mess, everything else seems to be a mess. Whatever part of your spiritual life is a mess, tonight you have the opportunity to get that back in order and to be on the right track. Whatever God it is that you serve completely works with the principles that we will be teaching from tonight. In fact, we're going to be teaching you how to unify a team, how to unify a group of people going after a common goal. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Could any of you use that kind of knowledge? Yes. How many of you like to develop that skill? Good. Then you'll be here tonight. So just as everything I taught you today, how many of you say that applied to your family life and your professional life? It all came from the same book. Do you understand? So it doesn't matter what God you serve. The principles work. That's the bottom line. So tonight, I encourage you to come. I'll be a little bit more casually dressed. You can also be a little bit more casually dressed if you like. Tomorrow, we're going to start at 9:30 in the morning. Tomorrow is more business casual versus more formal dress, okay? I'm looking forward to spending the evening with you. I can't wait to see you tonight. Thanks so much for such an awesome day. And get a hold of the tools that you need. God bless you.